Cleansings for mums, madams, ooh, and meat packers.
Oh, never mind, I must have misheard.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
The station's brilliant.
On Talk Radio.
There he is.
That is one of the most insane songs I've ever heard. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the guitarist from Nicky Nacky Noo? It's Dave Hill.
Nicky Nacky Noo.
You were almost...
He's obviously checking things out.
You were going to be called Nicky Nacky Noo instead it was
because we had this agent bloke in London, like, and he keeps saying, yeah, all right, Nicky Nacky Noo. And we're going, what the heck's Nicky Nacky Noo? I think it was one of those off-the-beam thoughts that we had occasionally in the band. Sometimes you're trying to change your name. We came to London in those days, and the studio guy said, I like the sound of you. He said, would you make an album? And he said, and we made an album for this Jack Baverstock at Fontana Records, yeah, who seemed to be quite connected as a man. He showed an interest in us. And he said, the thing is, he says, I don't like your name, you know, In-Betweens. I mean, what's the In-Betweens?
Yeah.
So he got a bit like that about the Nicky Nacky Noo.
I've been in bands when I was younger. Coming up with a band name is the hardest thing. Because you want something that's kind of catchy, but you can say over and over again, and you don't get bored of it. How did you... Because it was Ambrosia. But Dave Hill from Slade, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in case you wondered. Ambrosia Slade, how did you come up with that and then shorten it?
Well, basically, he offered some money to members of the staff to work at Fontana to come up with a name. And there was a woman there, apparently, who used to call things she owns by names, so she remembers them. So it could be a purse, which is Ambrose, and it could be a bag named Slade. That's the going story, and she got 50 quid. She got 50 quid, and she came up with this idea of Ambrose Slade. Jack Baverstock went for it. He said, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's much better than the In-Betweens, you see. So, okay, fine. And then he said, but you'll never do anything with Northern Management. That's what he said. He said, you need to be somebody in the business in London to actually hear you. And, of course, he was right. But what we didn't realise is his connection from that time led to a connection to an agent in London.
Yeah.
I think his name was John Gunnell. John Gunnell, I think, was connected to Chaz or Robert Stigwood.
Yeah.
Something like... It was like a little bit of a melting pot of several...
Stigwood was the agent for the Bee Gees?
Yes, he was.
And Chaz Chandler had been in the Animals.
Yeah, I think there was a connection there somewhere. I've never really asked Chaz precisely how he heard about us.
Yeah.
But John Gunnell met us and said... I know somebody, right? That's the way it was. I know somebody. And the somebody he knew was Chaz Chandler. Yeah. And it was like two things meeting that maybe are looking for each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know that saying, two souls that can spend a lifetime and eventually find each other? It's a bit deep, that one. But I think, that's another side of me. But the thing is, had we not been ready, we might not have been ready to be heard by someone.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was many years of working.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out to your listeners that this was no short-term job. This was no expert.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. There was no reality shows. There was no quick fixes. You've got two things in this business, mainly playing live to gather an audience, then possibly radio. If you're lucky, you might get a bit of recording, if you're lucky. But most of that, it was road work, playing, like the Beatles.
Yeah.
They had to work the pubs and clubs like we did, and the Mecca ballrooms, and go to Germany, or whatever they did. But from this situation of in the studio, he got us to make an album, and we call it Beginnings, you see. And it's got a lot of extraordinary things on that album. Like,
is that the one with Martha, My Dear, on?
Yes, and a Frank Zappa song.
Wow.
Right? You know, Ain't Got No Art. I mean, we were certainly a bit abstract.
Yeah.
We weren't a pop band. we didn't always get a lot of work because we wouldn't do chart material. Yeah. So. See, sometimes promoters in Germany would ask for a band who plays top 20 material.
Well, that was the gig in the 60s. Was a band would go and play, you know, a couple of hours in a nightclub, but you had to do all the hits from the top 20. Yeah. Maybe you could sneak in a couple of your own songs.
Yeah.
But you guys, I've got to say, beginnings, that was the Skinhead.
No, it was phase. Before that.
Was, okay, right, okay, so, yeah.
That was the Ambrose Slade. So right. We were Ambrose Slade. We got Northern Management. Then Chas heard something, and then John Gaunt said, look, I'll put him in one of my clubs in London, which was just off Bond Street somewhere. Right. It's called Rasputin. And it was one of those where you go downstairs, and there's a little stage up the corner where they're playing records. So there's a bit of a DJ, and it, we're stuffed up a corner, quite a small stage, very right. low. And then in comes Chas, and we see him coming down the stairs, you see, because it was only small. And we just did what we've always done. We didn't pretend to be anything other than what we were.
Yeah.
But he watched us, and he just came across and said, I want a manager. Wow. And it was like some movie clip, you know, yeah. where somebody walks in slow motion with a cigar, you know. Hi.
I'm gonna make you guys stars.
He was so enthusiastic. And one of the first things he said to me was, he said, oh, you're quite small, aren't you? he says, you're quite small. I said, yeah. He said, I think we could have a really good idea with you. Get the biggest guitar you could possibly get, right, and put it on you. He said, and I thought, I like this man.
He was speaking your language at that point, wasn't he?
We should let's get the plug in now. We're going to get plenty of plugs in. We've been talking about this book all week, Dave. You got a book out, Dave Hill. So here it is, the autobiography. This is an updated version because it came out last year, and there's an extra chapter in this one.
Yeah,
we have been banging on about this all week. You very kindly brought a copy in case we didn't have one. We've got three somewhere on this premises. Mm-hmm. I've devoured it. I've read it. I've loved it. You can buy it, of course, on Amazon, the usual places. If you go, dear listener, to I've tweeted the link to the Big Green Bookshop, which I think you were a couple of
really
weeks
good,
ago.
That one.
Our mate Simon runs that, and he's got a load of signed copies. Probably not a load now, probably just a handful. But I've tweeted the link. You can get signed copies for a tenner.
Yeah, that's a good bookshop.
It's a great bookshop. Simon is a big fan of the independent bookshops. So tell us about the Skinhead phase, then, because that is for those, you know, everyone knows what Slade looked like, but the pictures of you guys with the Skinheads is a real shock to the system.
It was a shock to the system when we did it.
I bet it was.
I mean, we'd all got nice girls when we had long hair. They actually left us when we cut all our
hair off. You had a posh millionaire's daughter or something.
Yeah,
I was
going out with a girl from Alton Towers, which is a big
theme park.
Yeah, I sort of fancied myself maybe marrying into the family. You know, so you'd have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I went out with a girl. She was quite posh. She sort of said things like mater and pater. You know, those
crikey, that is posh.
Yeah, and she got a sports car, and then she'd come to our humble council house and pick me up. And yes, she was quite pretty, and I met her when we did the old band. Did a show on the Alton Towers Park, you see. So, and I think we were on with a group called The Love Affair at the time, and they were really happening. And I met this girl, and she was like twiggy thin, you know. She was blonde, and I've always liked blondes. And I do remember the day I rung her to say, I've had a phone call from my manager, Chas Chandler, who's told me to get my hair cut off. He said, it'll be worthwhile because I'll be a millionaire. And I thought, you know, I like the sound of those. How many noughts are there in a million? And I was going, in other words, Chas was very persuasive, right? What happened about this Skinhead thing, it wasn't our idea. It was our publicist, Keith Altham, and he wouldn't mind me mentioning this. Keith is a lovely man. And he's the big publicist of the time, Enemy writer, he publicist of the Stones and all sorts of things he was doing. Anyway, he was our publicist, and Chas was thinking, now, there's a lot of bands with long hair. I think they were just trying to figure out some way of getting us in known, you see.
Every band needed a gimmick, didn't
something.
They had to have something different.
So hard.
Out.
No matter how good you were, it was trying to get an inroad somehow, you know. He was trying to think of a way to let the powers that be know about us.
I think in the book you talk about you had a casual look, so it was not unlike the Stones.
We looked
at
a little
time.
Bit, how can I put it? Late 60s was very much slightly flower powery, very curly, and you know, a bit sort of kind of a mixture of looking slightly feminine. And of course, the clothes were great for me. I loved all that. Kensington Market, oh yeah, we'll go there, buy the flares. And it was all like that then. And we'd come through the flower power and all that stuff, and, you know, Pink Floyd and all that. We'd come through that. And so we with Chaz, we got long hair. So, yes, we probably looked like a lot of groups as well.
Yeah.
But we looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And Keith Elson said something to Chaz. He said, oh, Chaz, you know, there's this skinhead movement. They don't have a group. He said, Chaz was going, ding. He was going, no, they don't have a group. Maybe they could have us.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, what they got to do? He said, cut the hair off. Anyway, Keith Elton said that. He said, yeah, it's a good idea. Anyway, then Keith started to get a kind of bothered about it. So he rung Chaz up again. He says, you can't do it, Chaz. He went, too late. Too late, Keith. They're down the barbers. All having their hair cut off. And Keith's going, oh, no, they'll blame me. He said, they're nice guys. You can't. He'd already done it. And I remember I went home and it was all chopped off. And Dad's looking at me, you know. And you know what? We had to go to the Isle of Arran, which took all night to get there. It's way up Scotland. And it's across on a ship to go and play. Two or three venues in the Isle of Arran, and we were scared in case any skinheads turned up who might beat us up. You know?
Look like the Bubba Boys.
I love the fact because Slade, you know, the Super Yob was. Where did the Super Yob nickname come from? Because it makes you sound like such a tough guy, and I get the vibe that you're kind of a pussycat, really.
I got a good heart. I think, yeah, I'm not. I know I was never in fights at school. I never. Did that not? I didn't. I always seemed to have friends that beat people up, but I didn't have been. You know, there was always something going on. But yeah, the Super Yob is coming back to Keith Altham again.
Right.
It was him.
Yeah,
Keith figures quite a bit in my life. Keith was. It was at a time when people were called superstars or megastars.
Yeah,
and I had a number plate, right? Which was on a car I bought. Oh, it was a Sunbeam Alpine.
There we go.
And what I did not know was the number plate. I never looked.
Yeah.
I bought the car. I sold my Spitfire, little Spitfire red one. And I just bought it. And it one day I went to Solihull to do a pub. But it was a posh pub, you know. It was, hey, old boy, half a pint. And it was a little bit like that. And I parked the car. And they were all Jaguars and things. And this bloke comes on and he goes, I say, he said, Yobby. I said, what do you mean, Yobby? He said, that number page at the back of your car, Yobby. It was a bit like that, you know, some old colonel or something. And I'm going, oh, yeah, I didn't notice that. Of course, the indication of what a yob means, you see.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this kind of thing stuck in Keith Altham's mind. He said, well, yeah, that Yob one thing. And said, why don't we call him Super Yob, you say? And from that idea formulated the kind of guitar that became along.
Yeah.
That I had this guitar to match my costumes, and we called it Super Yob.
Yeah.
So it's become an attachment. You can see
it's there on the front, yeah.
There it is. That's the original one, that is, right?
Have you still got that guitar?
No, I'll tell you who's got that guitar. Marco Peroni from the Adam and the Ant.
Has he really?
Yeah. He bought it out of a shop.
I wasn't expecting it going there, blimey.
Well, the reason he's got it is because I flogged it to a shop.
Right.
And that was a mistake.
Yeah, of course.
But he hasn't got it in his possession at the moment. It's actually in an exhibition in Liverpool.
Oh, wow.
Of memorabilia.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's David Super Yob because that's what it is. But I had it remade by the same people.
Right.
But I put some lights up the neck, as you do. You know.
You got some
Mark
great,
two.
You got some great guitars in the 70s. I know a band that was really influenced by you. I think they ripped quite a lot off you. Were Kiss, of course, in the States.
Yeah.
And Ace Frehley kind of took the guitars to the next level. Ace Frehley, the guitarist in Kiss, would have lights that would go up and down, like disco lights, and then he'd fire rockets from his guitar and stuff like that. But Kiss, I think, came and saw you when you went to the States and kind of went, well, we can do this.
This was in the full frontal Superyob days, right? And I got that guitar. And we played somewhere in New York. It was quite a it was a famous venue where a lot of rock bands played. And we headed to New York because that's where the impact of the publicity was for us, you see, and LA and all those. But New York was like, oh, right, we're going to do this gig in New York, you see. So there's a funny story coming up here, which is in the book, but it was a night. I got the platforms on. They're quite high that time. And I'd got the outfit and the yob. We didn't know Kiss and we didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
They were just in the audience. It wasn't until much later that I met Gene Simmons from Kiss, who relates the story.
Yeah.
And he got it wrong, but it sounded funny what he thought, right? I came on the stage and we had what you call a little walkway. You could go down the centre. You often see it now in big shows where, you know, Mick Jagger was walking right in the middle of the audience, right? Well, we had a little walkway, you see, and I spotted that. The problem was I was a bit enthusiastic. And I went running down the front, you know, doing all that, and I fell. And I fell on my back, and it looked like a Reeves and Mortimer sketch. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but my boots come up. It was like, and I thought, how do I get round this?
Yeah.
And I'm going, I'm looking round, and the others are killing themselves laughing.
Oh, I bet.
So I tried to make it look like I actually did it on purpose,
yes,
right?
You styled
so
it out.
Wasn't that funny? And the Kiss members bought it. Because when I saw him, he said, he comes up and he goes, you know what the Americans like? They go, Mr. Hill, awesome, you know. And they shake your hand. It's great. Gene Simmons, a big tall guy. He said, I saw you in the song, it was Radio City or something like that in New York. He said, you came out to the audience and you went V sign, right? Well, I never do that anyway. And he said, you did that to the audience and then you went on your back and kicked your legs out. And I thought that was really out of sight. That's part of the act, of course, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is, yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We've got Dave Hill from Slade, not Nicky Nacky Noo, not the in-between.
No.
He's got a brilliant book, So Here It Is. Honestly, it's such a cracking read. It's going to make a brilliant Christmas present. This is The Late Night Alternative with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
We've noticed your hair's getting a bit like Ringo.
So we're just back on. Dave's telling us about when he worked for Tarmac and wasn't allowed to grow his hair.
No,
and would they call you in and say, "Come on now, Dave, you're going to have to get that chopped
off."
Well,
yeah, I think it was a defining moment. I'd spent 2 years there, and obviously there was some discrepancy about my spelling. You know, that certain documents were being filed under the wrong letters or something like that. There was that comment. I went to night school to improve my English. It did not improve it. And one day, I think I must have been 17, I was called in by the personnel officer, because you had one of those in those days. A personnel officer is basically, he's got some issue with you, you say. And he says...
I think it's human resources now, isn't it? HR is what personnel used to be.
It means the same thing, though. Yeah. Trouble, generally.
He kicks off by, this is a job for life. And it was sort of like, you understand you're not doing very good at night school, and we've also noticed your hair's growing. And we also know that you play in a group, so, and you do realise that these groups don't really get anywhere. It's very rare that, you know, that kind of thing. Well, it's a point of view.
Yeah.
You know, this is a solid job, you say. And it was a kind of like, maybe that was a calling card for me, because that led to me going back to Mum and Dad, getting them together, and there's Mum who got me the job, there's Dad who's a mechanic, but they both know I'm musical.
Yeah.
And they know I'm a natural musical person. Mum, you see, father was a classical pianist, if you read the story, right? Now, I've always been melodic in my mind, in my playing, although I'm a rock player and very strong in rhythm.
Oh, there's more to it than that with you, though.
But there's a lot of there's a lot more going on than you realise with me, which will come out one day in my own album. But there's a lot going on with me, and Chas Chandler recognised my guitar playing as unique in itself.
I want to talk to you about the guitar playing, because I genuinely think you are one of the most underrated guitar players of all time. Because I think Slater is good as Led Zeppelin, but Led Zeppelin with his big albums band doing these long songs, and Slade, you know, you're doing these 3 minute pop songs almost. Yeah. I think the sound is as good as Led Zeppelin. I think your guitar playing is incredible. We've been playing Slade songs all week and just going, listen to this guitar bit. That song we just played, monkeys can't swing. Your guitar sound on that is ridiculously good. And I was interested to read that you're left-handed, but you play the guitar right-handed.
Yeah.
Is that partly what gets you your sound? Do you think? Well, that's unusual.
I say that the situation when you're 13, as I was, and you've been taught a few lessons by the biology teacher, who's a jazz guitarist, does a few lessons on the side. And he said, You know, that guitar's not very good, you've got Dave. You say, well, it isn't, because it's a cheap one from Kay's catalogue, you see. And my dad won't spend too much money in case I decide I don't want to do it.
Of course.
Because that used to happen in those days. So he said, well, it's not going to help. He said, anyway, you can't play it upside down the other way around, see. I said, well, I'm left-handed. He said, well, you'll have to play it right-handed, because there weren't any left-handed.
Was McCartney around at that point? Because that was...
No,
so this was pre-McCartney. Okay,
I've got no indication.
Yeah.
You've got to bear in mind, in those days, there weren't any guitar shops either. You might get a music shop that sold the odd drums and flutes and those dreadful recorders you have at school and bits and bobs and, you know, saxophone bits. And you got that, and you might see one guitar in the wind. It wasn't like... It is now a supermarket of guitars. Yeah. It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
In fact, you might have to go to London to find something that would look anything like a Fender.
And also the thing as well then, that people forget, electric guitars were really new. Electric guitars hadn't been around that.
No.
I mean, when did the electric guitar, like, came out, early 50s or something? It became...
Well, the guitars you saw in catalogues were like Barney Kessel or... They looked quite fat.
Yeah.
And they were like jazz guitars, you see. And they looked alien to us. To me, you know, the first guitar I saw was acoustic.
Yeah.
This young kid down by me had got this acoustic. And that's what attracted my attention. It was the oddity of it. It was like, it wasn't a piano, it wasn't a violin.
Yeah.
It wasn't a dreadful recorder or any of that.
You're very anti-recorders, I'm getting here. You don't like the recorders.
Well... The other reason I don't like the recorders is that the school teacher at junior school, the headmistress, didn't particularly like me anyway.
No.
And she certainly didn't like an educated mother writing her a letter.
Mm.
She really took umbrage.
Yeah, go and tell that story, because that's incredible.
So, oh, yeah, she didn't like that at all.
So your mum wrote a letter saying,
my mum wrote letters to... I mean, she had dealings with Enoch Powell and all sorts of people in the Midlands. And Enoch knew she was a war cabinet minister's secretary. We didn't, because she shouldn't mention it, you say. But he knew. And the thing is, she was cited as important, as she wouldn't have got those jobs.
Yeah.
She taught the neighbours Pitman shorthand and got them jobs, right? So you wouldn't mess around. Mom, in a sense, was someone that was educated to take notes. So she writes a letter to the headmistress.
This is great.
Yeah.
And the headmistress is called Fryer, better known as Fryer Took.
Bit of rhyming slang going on as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. I don't want to be offensive. I'm sure she's not alive now.
No.
But she received the letter and she stopped me dead in my tracks in the foyer. I'm going to school. And she said, boy, Hill, said, your mother's written me a letter. She said, said, join the music class. He said, you can't join the music class. You can't read music. And I was like, but I'm nine, you know. I mean, it was almost like end of.
Yeah.
And it was end of. And I felt kind of empty and sort of like, I mean, Mom didn't take it any further.
That's exactly
the response. But the recorder was the thing that,
right.
You know, that was almost like blowing a ruddy whistle. Mm. You know, it was slightly annoying. But there wasn't many options. It was either that or the squeaky violin, and that would be hard work. But the guitar is a tactile instrument. It was something that pop music, there was skiffle, there was Lonnie Donegan, there was Tommy Steele from Nordish, is it? North Shoreish?
Yeah.
There was him. And he was like the pop star of the day, Tommy Steele. He was good looking, you know. And at the time, there was American music coming over, as like Paul Anka and people like that, you see. There was a lot of, you know, there was the first song, it was a Ricky Valance song called Tell Laura I Love Her.
Tell Laura I Love Her. One of those tragic, isn't it? Doesn't he die
in a
car crash?
It's a tragic song, yeah. Oh,
a lot of those songs,
yeah. And yes, yeah, so they are a bit like Johnny Remember Me.
Johnny Remember Me.
You know, it's, and what's that? Ebony Eyes of the Everly Brothers.
Oh, I don't know that
My
one.
My Ebony Eyes. And,
right.
And the motorbike accident was, do you remember that
Leader
one?
Of the Pack.
Yeah, Leader of the Pack.
There was a lot of people dying in pop songs.
Yeah, there was most certainly, you know, things like that. And, you know, and I don't know. It is what it is. I got the sheet music. I took the sheet music to Brian Close. And he said, well, look, he said, you got a bass player, haven't you? I said, yeah, he's my mate. He wants to learn bass. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll teach you, but you've got to play the guitar right-handed. Mm. He said, because there's no brainer, you've got to do that. It's because you can't play it upside down.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work. The strings are wrong one way round. He said, you'll get used to it. And he was absolutely right. I did get used to it. And it's alien to go that way now.
Yes, so, you can't do it the other way at all.
But I've met guitar players who are left-handed, who have learnt left-handed and regret it. Right.
Why is that? What do they
Well,
regret?
I can only say that the business of your comment about my guitar playing and things like that, if you think about it, the left hand is the power hand, isn't it? It's not doing the rhythm.
Yeah.
The right hand's doing the rhythm with me. So the left hand is doing the guts in the strings, the bending of the notes, the rhythm of the notes, because it's all going on in the sand, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So it becomes the writing hand, the definitive hand to grab the neck of a guitar. And the rhythm, I wouldn't say it isn't as important. It is important, the rhythm, to be able to play good rhythm, which I can do anyway.
Yeah.
But I think there is a way that a guy used to say that my guitar playing had a wobble in it. And what it was, it's a doing.
That's a really good description,
And he said it's the Dayville wobble.
Now, the Dayville wobble.
Yeah.
What is interesting reading the book is I'm always interested in how bands put the sound together in the studio. And up until Don's car crash, you were playing like a live band in the studio.
Yeah.
You'd go in as a four-piece and you'd pretty much lay it down live. You say Nod's vocals, you'd do two takes maximum and that was it. And not much overdubbing, I'm guessing?
No, the principle was we'd always record together as a group.
Yeah.
In the studio, not in the vocal booth. And sometimes Nod's vocal at that time would be kept.
Yeah.
It would be kept from the point of view it actually might be the best one he's done.
Yeah.
Sometimes a lot of vocalists say, oh, well, you know, I don't have to, you know, it's not the real one, you know. And they can be quite relaxed.
Yeah.
With Noddy, because he has a powerful voice, you cannot overwork that voice, you see. It's one or two takes, and if you don't get it then, it's likely not to be as good.
Yeah.
And he does that sometimes, and Chaz goes, right, I'm going to keep these vocals, and we'll look at it later. And you might find you'll have one set of vocal. He'll then probably repair the odd bit and slot it in. Because everything was on tape then, you see. It wasn't cut and paste and technology. It was technology, but it was that kind of technology. And that's the thing, is we play as a band.
And then would you overdub guitar, like more guitar parts on top of that? You'd go in.
What I do is when I play, you play to get the actual take. And then what you've got is really the drummer. the drummer is captured, because you don't want to be re-recording the drummer.
Yeah, that's when it gets tricky.
And also, what you've got to remember about those recordings is it starts off at one tempo, right? And at the end, it's slightly faster.
Yeah.
But you don't notice, because as you listen to the record, it's moving.
Yeah.
And so, naturally speaking, when you play live, you don't play quantized same. If you use a drum machine, for instance, if you use a drum machine, you can hear it's a drum machine because every bass drum is exactly the same sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
A real drummer doesn't sound like that. You see, when a drummer's going boom, snare, boom, snare, the snare, every time it hits the snare, although it's a similar sound, it's not quite the same.
It's a human factor. It's not perfect.
No, and also what people need to know is when we do the choruses, you don't do one set of choruses, then copy it and paste it in another section. You do each chorus and you do the lot one by one. So when you get to the next chorus, right, it's not quite the same as the one you just heard. It's probably slightly edgier, because as you proceed through a song, it's the same with my guitar playing. I can maybe not sit at home and try and totally work out what I'm going to play, but when I play a track, as it feeds into your brain, you go in and you start. And what I can do is, or what seems to happen is, something speaks to me in a sense of what I should play and what I shouldn't play. It's like something goes...
Are you saying a lot of those solos on the record are improvised as you're doing it? You've not sat at home the night before?
I couldn't say that I didn't do that. I would say that sometimes I'm in the studio, and I would say some of the things is what we call on the hoof, which means you are thinking it on the day.
Great.
Creative people are not necessarily sitting at home playing, you know the element of like, do you practice? Well, I do, but actually that's playing.
Yeah.
You know, practicing is, do I do scales? No, I don't do scales. No, I don't do scales, because that sounds to me like, ooh, pentatonic, mixolydian. I mean, I never knew what those words were when I first... I played all those things when I was young.
But didn't know...
I didn't know the name of them. It was natural. And I don't... I mean, some people say it's a load of rubbish, you know. Oh, so technical, man, you know. But actually it doesn't speak to you. The solo you picked on earlier, the way it's... It's a feeling, you see, because you're actually putting your own personal energy into that. And it's not about going... Because there's a lot of players these days that we call them the Widdly Widdlies, you know. And it doesn't say anything, it blows over your head. And then you get guitar players like Eric Clapton, you get guitar players like Billy Gibbons and ZZ Top, you get guitar players like, I don't know, David... not Paul Kossoff, you know, is long gone now, but he's sort of, he's more, how can I say, economical.
It's the gaps.
Yeah.
The gaps are what make it.
It's a bit that maybe somebody will try and play an extra note. It's the fact that he's missed that.
Yeah.
It's actually, because there is something that comes across. And my wife always notices it in the playing. When there's a lack of it, she'll say there's not enough guitar on there.
Right, right.
Or something. And it's not that she's bolstering my ego. She's not like that.
No.
But it's something that...
Oh, I love your missus, by the way, from this book. From what I've read about her. She's a superstar, she is.
Well, she's solid.
She?
And she's a black country girl, you know. That means work. You know, you grew up in factories and things
she's
like that,
great.
You know. And basically, she didn't like groups anyway, so... And she's blonde. And I met her at a time when, you know, it was all miniskirts and twiggy and all that sort of stuff, you know?
How long have you been with her now? It's over 50 years, isn't it?
No, not quite that long.
Oh.
We got married in 73.
Right, OK.
So when the big year...
45.
So we went to America and got married in Tijuana, which is a dump. And $35 to get married, you know. And we didn't think we were married, but we were. It was legal.
God, there's so much I want to ask you. Because I want to go back to marriage in a second. Very quickly, I just wanted the comparison of after Don had his accident, where his girlfriend was killed and his memory was was totally impacted. The way you worked in the studio then changed. And what he would do the drums on his own first? Is that how it went?
What happened with the Christmas song is after the accident, which we didn't know whether he was going to survive.
Yeah.
His girlfriend got killed. She went through the windscreen of a Rolls Royce, right? This was an horrific noise.
Yeah.
I didn't quite capture the impact of it when I had the phone call because it all came via Dad.
Mm.
And Dad's going, I heard that. And then I heard my sister scream. And she had to ring. The girl who got killed was Carol's friend.
Mm.
And she had to ring the father to find out if it was true. She thought it was a nosy neighbour that was giving her. But this is like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So it isn't a nosy neighbour. This is not.
Yeah.
And at first we thought he just had a bump. We didn't realise the immensity. It went from a bump to he's in hospital and his girlfriend's dead. And it's all happened so quickly. And we were number one in the charts with Squeeze Me, Please Me. We'd just done Earl's Court. We'd done all the big
ones. First band to play Earl's Court, was that right?
Not the first. Bowie was before of us.
Right, OK.
I don't think Bowie fared very well, right. But we did.
Yeah, 20,000.
And I think it was pretty remarkable. From what I heard, they laid on extra trains on the underground to cope with the fans because they're all in their glitter and top hats. It must have looked amazing, actually. 1973, can you imagine that? We'd done 2 London Palladiums, right? One in the afternoon and one at night. In one day, we did 2 shows, right? And the balconies, there was caution about the balconies then. They would never have us back because the fans were making the balconies move by bouncing, all this kind of stuff going on.
A lot of stomping.
But I mean, I don't think the Palladium were quite used to our kind of music. And in the audience was the Zulu actor, what's his name, Stanley Baker.
Yeah.
And Stanley Baker was sitting in a box watching us, you see. And Nod said, oh, over there, Mr. Zulu. I can imagine, can't you, know, Mr. Zulu. Everyone was all scared of him, you know, Mr. Zulu. You know, but he because we'd worked for Stanley Baker at Lincoln Festival when he actually put us on as an outsider group, which actually we sold the festival. We went down so well that it suddenly made a mark in the newspapers.
Yeah.
So we cited Stanley Baker as being a little bit of good luck for us, you know. He put us on. It was raining all the time. And when we went on, it stopped raining. And everybody was jumping around and we got them going.
Yeah.
And he come on stage and I was chucking glitter at him. You know, it was really funny. But moving on, I tend to sidetrack. What was the first question?
We were talking about the horrific car accident and how and just...
Oh, yeah, you were talking about the drum kit. Well, what happened was we went to New York and Chaz thought, well, maybe we could do the odd show with Don and see how he fares. Because what had happened with the accident, the bang on the head caused him to have a memory problem, right? And he still has a memory problem to this day, but it's not as bad.
Right.
But it created a concussion.
So he couldn't remember what he'd done the day before.
He didn't
remember. And he couldn't remember the hits.
Well, he couldn't remember the girl that got killed either.
Really?
And in fact, the girl he thought about was his old girlfriend before it. So, he didn't know he couldn't taste. He didn't know he couldn't smell either. Yeah. And we didn't know that until later when we found out he'll never have that back, right? The memory thing was a point where he rings you and goes, what time we're leaving? 10 minutes later, it's done. What time we're leaving?
Oh, mate.
Then again, and you reach a point where you have to... You have to back off it.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's quite intense. Because Don, it's a bit... Don's... Each day is like Grandog Day to Don.
Yeah.
In other words, it's a new day. I mean, he had to write in those days what he was going to wear the next day and what where he was going.
Man.
So imagine that. We're in New York, right? And this is something that really is remarkable. We're in New York. John Lennon cancels some studio time at the record plant.
Yeah.
The record plant is the top studio in New York, right? Chaz said, we've got some free time, he said. And he knew about the Christmas song. He knew there was this idea, but he hadn't heard it.
Yeah.
So. He said, Chaz says to us, we were doing nothing. He said, why don't we go in, get Don on the kit, and and record this Christmas song. So it was going to be a bit of a therapeutic job, you say.
Yeah.
So what we do, we go in together normally and record. We didn't do that this time,
right,
because he wouldn't get through the song for a start, right? Because he might get partway and stop. Anything could happen. So what we did, which we never do, is we rebuilt the kit.
Right.
We got the theory of the song, but none of us really knew the song very well. Jim said, this is the chords, Nod's got the lyrics, and a lot of things you hear on the record were thought up on the day, yeah, or the week.
Isn't it funny to think of a time when even Slade didn't know the Merry Christmas, everybody? Isn't it funny? It's, you know, it's...
Yeah, well, no, nobody knew that we were creating a phenomenon, but
yeah,
bearing in mind we were huge then, and probably the biggest band in Europe, and really we'd had tragedy.
Yeah.
And that tragedy had knocked some wind out of us, you know, because we were all this before that, yeah, right? It was all, come on, feel the noise, you know the kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all, you know, squeeze me, please me, and all that. Anyway, and so we'd already had two straight to number ones. We're in New York, we're recording it. Then we started to overdub the things. Then we replaced some of the kit. And then Don plays a shuffle, which is a characteristic thing he does on records, yeah, with Slay. And that really worked. And he wasn't losing it at all. He might be asking you the same question every half an hour, but he did it. We completed it, never heard it mixed, you say.
Yeah.
We did all the backing vocals in the corridor where the office people were coming in. And
in the middle of summer, I'm guessing.
Yeah, in the middle of summer. It's 100 degrees outside, and they're thinking there's a bunch of lunatics from England singing about Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're going to work in the offices, you see. And you imagine these buildings in New York. They're monsters, these buildings. So we're doing that. Then we leave it, and then we walk away, and I think we did one or two shows, you, yeah, see. And then we went back to England. Chaz took the tapes and took them to England to work on them with an engineer at Olympic Studios, where he always did Slade records. And they mixed it, right? And it wasn't until... I don't think we'd even heard it, actually. I think it wasn't until we were in Belgium, right? And we were doing some promotion. And the premise of this song was coming out. And then we got a phone call from the record company. And there's this sort of... sort of. It sounds a little bit French to me. Like, Slade, what a marvellous record, he said. I've just received this record from England, he said. I think it's wonderful. He said, this is just right for Belgium, and the fans will love it. Come into the office and we'll have some champagne. Well, this is 9 o'clock in the morning, right? And we just had breakfast. And it's like... and of course, we're quite comical, like... Let's pop down and have some champagne, don't we? You know, it was a little bit like that. So we, yeah, all went in, and we got the wives with us. I got my wife with, yeah, me, and because they were with us, you know, we were doing the tour. And he puts it on, you see, and we're listening, going, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah." I said, "We haven't really heard it, you know. It's oh, yeah, it sounds pretty good." Champagne, Martin Shannon comes out, you know, bubble wobble. More champagne? Yeah, more champagne. We'll play it again. And then, by the third time he played it, we were smashed. I focused all my energy into that guitar, and I think that's been my saviour, yeah, through a depression, through stroke.
Stroke on stage.
Wow. Depression, serious depression I had. See, a lot of people think I don't have a bad day because, yeah, I always look happy. I am a happy person. I've got a great wife. I've got 5 grandkids. I've got a lot of nice things. And people say, oh, I bet you're really rich. And I said, well, actually, I'm not rich in money. I said, I've never earned that much money out of this. I said, but I'm rich in family, and, yeah, that's more important. I know, in a sense, and that's what's in the yeah, story, is actually how I look at things in the light of all things,
yeah,
the bigger picture. I mean, I got into Wordsworth,
yeah,
a few years ago, and I read a thing called Lines Written Above Tintern Abbey, and it spoke to me about nature, and it spoke to me in a different way about how to view maybe what we're doing here,
yeah,
why are we here, in a sense of... Not this archetype of sort of, not that I don't have faith in God. I'm not saying I don't disbelieve.
Well, you hint in the book, you've been on kind of a spiritual journey.
Yeah, I've been
looking for.
I mean, in a sense, the music we do is spiritual as well, because I think it's uplifting. It does things for people, and it does things for me. And my reaction with the audience, you know, we're doing that gig in London at the Ulu University. I mean, when we play there, there is a spirit taking place a sense of happiness. And
music,
they feel good, I feel good, we're into play, you see. So actually, even when I was suffering depression, my psychiatrist, who eventually got me well, said, there's one thing you did, and it was a good job you didn't stop doing it, is you dragged yourself on stage and played. Because when you play and inject endorphins into you, you're great for that time, but the next day you're back to square one.
Dave, we need to let you go, because your missus is going to be furious with us.
I came
down. Very quickly, just say, I was so pleased as well to see that Nod's written the foreword to this.
Yeah,
you guys all right now?
We've always been all right. You get kind of comments in every band when bands split up.
Oh,
they're all arguing. No, we're not all arguing. Basically, Nod had had enough and wanted to come away from it totally.
Yeah.
And he's chose his path. My thoughts on Nod and Jim, although they're not with me now, is I see Nod frequently.
Really?
Right?
Good.
And comes down to see me. And I did say to him one day when he came down, I said, hey, would you like to do a forward? The book company have asked. And he said, yeah. He said,
brilliant.
I'll write all the jokes about it, you know, or something really funny. But actually, he's a thinking man. Yeah, and he went away and he made the comments about the guitar playing.
Yeah.
And when I offered him the job in the band and three lead guitarists and all that kind of stuff, he mentions that. And obviously Noel Gallagher's comment is only because I ran into Noel Gallagher at the airport.
Did you really?
Terminal 5. And he just came and he said, I'm a fan. And I said, I'm aware of that. He said, because I knew he liked How Does It Feel. And I said, it's a great song. Anyway, they done come and feel the noise, so I was aware of Noel. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And we just exchanged the odd texts on the phone, you see, and then one day I just said, would you like to do a few words about you and Liam growing up in council houses watching Top of the Pops?
Yeah.
And he did. That's precisely what he said. And I didn't tell him what to say. He says what he says.
Yeah.
No Slade, no Oasis. I mean, I didn't expect that. That's rather nice.
That's a great line, isn't
it? It's also, to Noel, I suppose what he's saying is this is the truth.
Yeah.
It's a bit like what the Beatles did for me. You know, okay, Hank Marvin was everything at one time, but the Beatles, in 1963, and I turn professional, right, and I grow my hair, and I feel more confident. And Mum and Dad go, give it a go, son.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did.
Dave, you've got to go. Jan is listening to
this. And I better go.
For God's sakes.
Yes, that's it.
Listen, the book is a real joy. Dave Hill, so here it is. You get it from a place you usually get books, Amazon, all those places. If you go to Sainsbury's,
It's in Smith's as well.
Sainsbury's has got the silver cover.
And the silver cover is a special one for Sainsbury's that wanted an exclusive cover.
And it's a great book.
But it's got an extra chapter about 1973 and beyond. And I think you might get the way I've been talking tonight, you might get the idea of what it's really all about when you go through the whole lot, is that everybody has problems and everybody has things to share. We're not that far different from each other in life. We all have gifts in different ways and we all do what we do. But basically, we're all serving each other in this life. And if you find something that does some good, as I did, then if you believe in it, do it.
I love you, man. I genuinely love you. Thank you so much for the music. Seriously, thank you. This is Talk Radio.
Kick off your slippers. Don't go to bed. The party is just starting.
You can sleep when you're dead. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Loving and shoving, humping and popping and make it all about making love to you. I wanna make love to you. You are the prettiest thing I've seen today. You tell me to put it away. Yeah, girl, don't tell me to put it away. I wanna get on top of you and do it to you.
God.
Yes. Ooh. That's a love song.
Well, I mean, it's not really, is it? It's more of a push and shove song.
It's a love song. Call straight to air, because that's the kind of guys we are. 03444991000, line 5, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. Oh. Alistair here.
Hello, Alistair. Let me just run the old... would you mind blowing into this bag for me, please, sir?
Yeah.
Away you go. Here we go. Give it a nice deep blow until... Keep blowing, sir. Oh, hang on a minute. Let me look at it. Oh, good blowing action. Could write a song about that in a minute.
Don't.
Oh, hey, congratulations, Alistair. You've passed the sobriety test. Welcome back.
Well, I've not had a drink today, so.
Yeah, well done, fella. How are you feeling? Rough?
Yeah, but, you know, it's little steps, isn't it? And I've just got to do the same tomorrow, and then hopefully we'll be...
Exactamundo.
All happy and goodly.
Yeah, that'll be it. It'll be fine. You'll be all done then. You'll be sorted. Good to hear you back, brother. We prefer this guy. We don't like the other guy so much. We like this guy.
Yep.
Did you hear...
I managed to get a copy of Let It Be, the film.
A hooky copy?
Less than 10 quid.
Well, it must be hooky because they've not officially released... Oh, I've just reminded. We got loads of food out there.
Well...
Someone's thrown it away?
No.
Have you?
I've had mine.
What can I... What? What can I...
I thought you were busy.
I'm busy, but I'll eat, but I'm starving.
It's still warm.
We ordered food, Alistair, right? Because we were out, we went and watched a really good film called Shoplifters. It's a Japanese film, right? We had a busy day.
I've seen it reviewed today. It's
a bit bleak, but it was good, right? And then we got in late and we were hungry, so we ordered some food. And just as the food arrived, Dave arrived, and we didn't want to eat in front of him. That would have been rude, you know. So we've not eaten, and I've just been reminded of it. So I'm going to eat while I'm talking to you. I hope that's okay.
Carry on.
It's not arrived yet. I'm waiting for my delivery. My Deliveroo. Rider,
you shouldn't go hungry, though, Ian.
You shouldn't go hungry, Alistair. No! And in this world of plenty...
I mean, the thing about... when I looked on Amazon, which is a ridiculous company, they were selling Let It Be.
Yeah.
Special collected edition or something, for about 45 quid or something.
What, the film?
And I thought... The film, yeah. And I thought... I'm not paying that. I'm sure I could find it on eBay.
Hang on. Where did you see a special? The special, it's not been officially released, so it must have been a hooky version.
Well, I don't know. It's on Amazon anyway.
Yeah,
but,
well, the ones on Amazon are
like
hooky.
I found one on eBay for 9 quid.
Did you just belch, Catherine?
No, I went, oof!
Right. It's not officially been released, so that's hooky. All right, here's my thinking. They're going to release it that next year. They'll release an Abbey Road 6-disc box set. The year after that, they'll finally officially release Let It Be by the Beatles.
But anyway, well, thanks for all your help this weekend. You have been very helpful. I'm always appreciative.
Brother, I haven't done anything. You're doing this yourself. I mean, you can do this yourself. All right, man, listen, have a good weekend.
And you, mate. Bye-bye.
Well, mouthful of food. I thought he was going to talk for a little bit longer about a mouthful of food. Hello, line two.
Hello.
Hello, line two. You're on the air.
Hello.
You're
on the air as well.
Those balls dropped pretty quickly, didn't they? Hello, line two.
Hello, Ian. Ian. This is my daughter's meant to be on. She just handed me her phone.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great news. What? It's whose mate, McGregor?
You what?
His daughter.
Oh,
your daughter.
Your daughter's called McGregor. What? What?
No, she's called Tony.
Now he's getting crazy. And how old is Tony?
19.
Okay.
I just tweeted he's asking you to be nice to her.
Well, I would have been nice to her if she hadn't got her dad to tweet me to ask me to be nice to her, and B, she hadn't bottled out. What the hell is going on in your household?
I don't know.
No. Okay.
Ian?
Yes. Oh, here we go. Alan, my 19-year-old daughter is ringing you now. Please be nice. Is that her in the picture with you? And you're...
Yes.
And you're both doing...
I met her about 10 years ago.
Shut up, man. She's not 9 in that picture.
What age were you in that picture on...
She's got a leopard skin print on and you're both pointing to your mouths. Why are you getting drunk with your daughter? You should be setting an example to her. You should be setting an example to her. Why are you getting drunk with your child? You're underage. She shouldn't even be drinking. Why are you getting her drunk? Why? No, the drinking age is 32. We know that. Why are you forcing her to get drunk, sir?
I'm calling the soch.
We're calling the soch.
I didn't force her.
You did. You poured. She told me what happened. You tied her and you got one of those funnels and you poured tequila slammers down her throat. You got your daughter drunk just so you'd look cool with all the other parents. Well, it doesn't wash with me, Daddy-O. You're going to go to prison and she's going to go into care. Yeah, good. Cry. You're right to cry. Parents like that make me sick. And they make the kids sick, actually, so don't do it. Good evening, Line 6. You're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello there.
It's Michael from a few Fridays ago.
Ah, I've been there, yes. What can we do for you? It's a great place to visit. I wouldn't want to live there. What can we do for you, Michael? Fight?
I just called up again, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was just trying, you know, just call back up.
Okay, cool. Well, anything you want to say? Anything particular? Because for the I'm happy to chat, but for the Chattanooga Choo Choo to leave the station, it needs to be fueled by convo.
He wants you to stoke his boiler.
Steady on, mate.
It's
been a bit of a silly mood today, both of us. I'm going to be honest, Michael.
I'm overtired, mate.
We are in a silly mood.
Were you watching I'm a Celebrity this year?
Nope, not watching any of it. Not watched a single bit of it.
Why not?
Because I feel weird. I've talked about it quite a bit. I feel weird. Did you have the sweet and sour or the black beans?
I don't know.
Flipping it.
Black beans, I think.
Just because I feel weird about it being on. It feels like it's like my girlfriend is going out with Nick Knowles and no one wants that.
Oh.
Are you watching it?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
I think it's very good. I like Anne Hegarty on it, and I think she's great.
I think she is great. She's good. I like her a lot.
Yeah, you were on The Chase.
Yeah, I was on The Chase. I was on The Chase, and I got through to the final. I was, let's be honest, guys, and we can say this now. I was the only good one out of the four of them. Shappy was lousy, Jenny was awful, and Stanley was a knob.
Stanley was barely there, was he?
Stanley was there physically, but I think he left his brain somewhere.
Didn't have his hearing aids in.
No. I was the best one out of all of them. I think you'd agree, wouldn't you, Michael?
Yeah, you got 17 or something out of them, yeah.
I did, yeah. Pretty much on my, I think I got 15 or 16 of those 17. I'm a human, I'm a human being. I'm a human knowledge machine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the HNM, the human knowledge machine.
Right.
Okay, all right, yeah, okay. All right, Michael, thanks for the call, man. Let's go. I want to get one more in before the news.
Pudang.
Pudang?
A pudding.
Pudang is like a pooty tang.
Is it?
Yeah, pudang. Hello, Line 7, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, pudang.
Pudang.
You pudang. Speak!
Yeah, I'm speaking.
No, you're not. Let's go to Line 8. Line 8, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, Line 8. You're on the air.
Hi, my dad just rang.
Oh, God, listen.
Tony, for God's sake.
Tony is a... listen, not all dads are like that. He's a disgusting human being. You are underage and he should not be plying you with alcohol. And don't worry, we're going to put you at the Talk Radio orphanage, OK? It's run by the same people who do the dating service, so be careful.
We're just triangulating your frequency and we'll have the people around any minute. Pack a bag.
Don't you panic, young lady. We can sort this and we're going to have your father assassinated.
I feel like a flipping child line. Never mind.
Well...
or whatever.
Exactly. What are you doing getting drunk with your old man? That's weird.
Okay, I love him. He's my best friend.
Yeah, because you're drunk.
It's not so nice my day.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for calling.
All right. But, no, it's not.
Did you just hang up?
I don't know.
Oh, you're still on.
Did you? No, they're set. We're still on. Right. Hello? I can't. No, I can't hear him.
Hello? He does that sometimes. He probably puts an old car on. He's in something.
What do you mean?
In the car again.
Hmm.
You want some more tequila? Can I get the phone?
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Great song, 1991. Slade is a big old flop, that one. And it's just an incredible, incredible song. I love it. 03444991000. We'll put the Dave Hill interview out as a podcast on Monday. Thank you very much. I didn't say on air. You could have gone to the... I just tweeted the link. You could have watched it live, but I forgot to mention it on air.
Come here. What are you?
Yes. So we've got to play the interview with the director of Three Identical Strangers, whose name escapes me. I forgot the guy. I went and met the guy. And I forgot his name. We're going to play that before the end of the show. I'm going to say it's Tim Werthers. Tim Werthers.
Tim Wardle.
It's not bad, actually. He's a really nice guy. It's a great film. Such a good film. I thoroughly recommend it. Taking calls straight to air until then. 03444991000. Don't swear. Don't be libelous, because I've got a dump button. The way it works, I will see your name or your number flash up on my screen. I click a button and go, hello, line one, you are on the wireless.
Hello. Is this Listen to Me radio or talk radio? Because all I'm hearing is Listen to Me, really.
I tell you what it isn't. It isn't Stan Comes On for Much Longer radio.
Oh, right. So it's definitely Listen to Me radio.
Stan,
then,
why are you being a bellend?
Good morning, Julie Hartley.
What's his problem?
What's his problem, dude? Guess what? What do you mean listen to me? What are you talking about? We had Dave Hill in for an hour and a quarter. I hardly said anything.
And we had 8 calls in the last hour.
What are you talking about, you muppet? Yeah. I'm going to come to Burnley. I'm going to punch...
Muppet. Yeah, have you listened to Julie Hartley Brewer's programme in the morning? How many callers get in? How many callers?
Oh, jeez.
Why have you got beef with Julia and you're bringing it here?
Hang on. He's not on the air at the moment. Stan, I'll let you come back on in a minute, mate, right? I have no... No, I don't listen to Julia's show. You know why? I'm asleep. I am asleep then, or I'm on Good Morning Britain. Listen, you want to come on and criticise this show... Please feel free to, because I can talk about this show and I can listen and go, well, maybe we can do this or maybe you're wrong. I have got zero input on... Stan, they can't hear you, mate. You're not on the air at the moment, all right? Just calm down. So Stan has got the manners of a dog turd. He's got the manners of a fart in a cathedral. Let's see if... he's still going...
Right.
Jeez,
can I make a technical point, Stan, if you're listening, if you can hear over your own voice? When you're speaking and then Ian speaks, Ian's voice cancels yours out. So trying to steamroller your way through is not going to work.
Let's try Stan again. Let's see if Stan is paying attention.
Radio, is it?
Here we go. Stan's a bellend. Stan's a bellend. Stan is a big bellend. Let's see if he's hung up.
You don't want to hear.
Here we go. Oh, go on, I can play along with that. Go on.
Right.
You don't want to hear me.
Talk radio or listen to me radio.
We've heard that bit. Fast forward. Let's hear the point.
Get to the point, boy. Get to the point, boy, before I come to Burnley and I punch you in the nose.
Yeah. Of course you would.
I will come to Burnley right now. Sorry, after the show. I've got nothing to do tomorrow. I will drive to Burnley and I will punch you in the nose.
Yeah, of course you would.
Yo, that's fine to talk. Yes, I will come.
I'm driving to work.
I don't listen to her show! I'm asleep! I do a late night show and I'm asleep, you idiot! I have nothing to do with Julia Hartley Brewer's show! Phone her up and complain to her! Not me!
Well, you can't get through when you're doing the morning, can you? Because it's
I don't phone up. I
listen to garbage on the radio. You are.
Stands a bell cheese. Stan is a bell cheese. The rudest caller I've ever had the misfortune to talk over. Stands a bell cheese.
You ain't got a point to prove, cause you've got nothing to say, cause you're a...
Well, come on now. Yeah. Come on, Stan. Look, come on, listen, I'll play... But you watch it. Listen. Okay, there you go. Stan, listen. Again, you're off the air now. Listen, I'll play along with you, mate, but just watch your language, all right? Just watch your language. We let the W go, but the rest of it is getting a little bit firm. I'll put you back on, but you've just got to watch. Stan, we can't hear you. I've taken you off the air. I will put you back on, but you gotta make sure you don't swear.
And so far on that you can't hear me, and you're so scared to talk to me.
I'm not scared to talk to you, I just don't want you swearing on my...
Oh,
I'm not scared to talk to a man. I'm gonna punch in the nose. Gonna get in my car after the show. Drive to Burnley and punch you in the nose. Then I'm getting out my nunchuckers. Use them on thick, silly people. Gonna kick your ass, gonna kick it so hard. Stan's going down in his yard. Yeah, Stan, I'm gonna hit you again. Stan, you are a massive bellend. Hello, Stan. Hello, Stan.
Do you really think that's good radio?
Do you really think that works? I think it's better than you.
Get your point across.
I tell you what, Stan. Listen,
moron, or you're the moron.
You're the moron.
You play your shitty little songs over my voice.
My songs are not shitty. I think they're clever. Ooh, I think they're quite witty. But you are a knobber. You will not shut up your gob. Now, Stan, they can't hear you. Stan, listen, I want to talk to you, brother. I want to making Stan so angry. Stan, you can come back on.
I'm angry.
No, shut up! You shut up! Oi! Hello, Stan?
Shit.
No!
Stan.
I know you are, Stan, but what am I? Stan, you can come on, but just watch your language, buddy. Just watch your language, all right? Just come on. Watch your language. And I tell you what, Stan, you're not on the air, mate. I tell you what, you don't like Julia's show, you don't like my show. So, you obviously know what you do like. You're obviously a trained producer. So why don't you come on and tell us how you would make this show better, but without your indoor language. If you swear one more time, I will let you go, okay? So come on and don't swear and tell us how you make this show better, Stan. Over to you, brother.
Well, first thing I'd do, I'd listen to the caller...
Okay, I'm listening.
Right. I'm curious, yeah?
What's the second thing you do?
I'd say it's called talk radio.
Instead of listen to me radio. You've done that four times. Let's get onto some new material now, Stan, if you can. We don't like repetition on talk to me radio.
You don't like answering questions either, do you?
You haven't asked me a question.
I'll ask you a question. It's called talk radio, but it sounds to me like it's listen to me radio.
Okay,
that's all you've done. You've played over me.
What's the question?
Little song.
What's the question? You haven't asked a question yet. Go on, ask me a question.
Right.
Without swearing, if you can, which I think is tricky because you think
I can easily do that. Mate.
Okay, have a go.
My question is,
yes, sir.
Talk radio.
Yes.
How come in the morning,
yes,
nobody gets to ring in on the radio?
Have you tried to ring in?
Many times.
Okay, well, maybe they don't want you because you're quite dull and rude. I don't know. Maybe?
Do you really think that? Or do you think it's maybe they're scared of what I've got to say?
What? Well, tell you what. You tell me what you've got to say. Because I'm not scared of it. I'll listen to it. Go on.
Right, in the morning,
No,
it's all about Brexit.
Right. Okay.
My answer is.
Your answer?
There you go again, you say.
Your answer?
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to play another silly song.
No, I'm just singing, doing some chords. I thought you were going to speak English, but go on. Your answer is?
I think I'm in the wrong programme, aren't I? Because this is just like a moron programme. Obviously, you haven't got a brain cell because...
What is your answer? We're waiting... I'm waiting for your answer that you keep on hinting you got your answer, tease. Please give me your answer, Stan. What's your answer, buddy? Come on.
My answer is I'm washing up and I don't give a...
Oh, thanks very much for your call, Stan.
That's why they don't answer your calls.
Because you've got a potty mouth. Let's have a break.
Whispering lunar incantations for cross parents. Cross dressers.
Yeah, did you know this about me?
And cross rail workers.
Steel and polycarbonate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got a very poor internet connection.
On Talk Radio.
It's a show for morons.
Sadly, he didn't fit in. You think it would be made for him?
But Stan's point was...
speak to Julia.
So his question was, why is it called talk radio and it should be listen to me radio? OK, well, how would you improve it? Well, by not... I don't even understand what was going on.
Someone hurts Stan. He's taking it out on... The dear listener, to be honest, has suffered enough.
Now we're going to play a song now.
Oh, that was nice.
I've got some chops in the fridge at home.
Why? I thought you were off the meat.
It's the weekend. I'm going to be stuffing my face with...
Oh.
Sausages. Here's Grain Chill.
There was a slight look of panic on your face as you started that run.
Grain Chill.
Oh. Nice attempt at the hill wobble.
Yeah. Don't feel I'm getting... I do. I've got my songbook here.
Oh, good.
Sorry?
Can I read one out?
No.
Go on, let me.
No.
Let me, come on.
No.
Come on, let me.
No, I'm not going to.
Let me.
No, because you're just taking the mic.
Let me. Yeah, well, I'm going to take the mic anyway. Let me, go on. Let me read that one in red pen. Let me.
That is a monkey song, so I can't play that. Some of them are songs I used to do when I was busking.
Took so long.
There you go. I remember this one. There it is.
Oh, God.
You're going to laugh at me, so no, I'm not going to do it. The chorus went like this. What's a D minor?
Yeah.
That's a seventh. And it took so long to get here, I never thought we... Can't remember what a D minor is. Oh, well. Hey, you play a bit. You can play guitar.
No.
Come on, you can play guitar.
No, my nails are too long.
Oh, don't be such a... Listen, my nails are too long, but I still play. I play for the fans. Do you know where we
are? No.
Yes, you do. You're getting a little bit,
I was just trying to remember what shape a D minor was.
There we go. This is great music. This is great music. I've got a numb finger because of an illness. Hang on. There we go.
Oh. Don't do the guitar face at me, please.
You ready? Yeah. I said it's all... Where's the tune? Yeah.
I
said it's all... The times I waited
patiently for you. Oh, God, we've become those people who bring a guitar to a party and do Wonderwall. Stop!
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Sorry, just Kat's reminded me I need to get a larger litter tray for the kittens. I've ordered a bed already. medium-sized bed because they're going to sleep in the same one, I'm hoping.
Exciting.
Got loads of food. I've ordered some toys. Got a cat climbing thing. Got a little tube that you bought for Velvet that she didn't use because she's miserable.
And you've got that thing, that cat annoyer, that botherer thing with the fish on the end.
Yeah. Cat litter tray. Right. Go on. So this guy who wanted to change his age, this is brilliant.
Yeah, sad news, everyone. You're not allowed to identify as whatever age you feel. A Dutchman who wanted to change his date of birth to boost dating prospects has lost his legal battle to do so, according to BBC News. Emil Rattleband, still age 69 despite his best efforts, wanted to change his birth date by 20 years to avoid what he called discrimination. We live in a time when you can change your name and change your gender. Why can't I decide my own age, he said.
Well, because of the sun. Because of the way time works, you absolute Burke. I haven't said Burke for a long time. You're not Burke is short.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Very rude.
Berkshire.
Hunt.
Berkshire Hunt. Mm-hmm. I can't even mouth it because if I mouth it...
You don't need to. I think we can all join the dots there.
No, that doesn't...
No, don't even. Don't even.
Berkshire Hunt.
Careful. Court disagreed, highlighting the many rights in law are based on a person's age and changing it at will would cause many problems. There was no legal basis to make such a change, it said. Mr. Rattleband is at liberty to feel 20 years younger than his real age and to act accordingly, the judges said, but changing his legal documents would have undesirable legal and societal implications. Mr. Rattleband, who calls himself a positivity trainer, he also calls himself 40-odd, so... made headlines around the world with an unusual request. Ahead of the hearing, he made TV and other press appearances saying he felt discriminated against in both employment and on the popular dating app Tinder, and said his doctors had told him that he had the body of someone in their 40s. I've looked at a picture, he needs to give it back, it doesn't fit him. If I'm 49, then I can buy a new house, drive a different car. I can take up more work, he said. Yeah. When I'm on Tinder and it says I'm 69, I don't get an answer. When I'm 49, with the face I have, I will be in a luxurious position. He kidded himself. Alongside the widespread media attention, he was criticised by some for comparing his bid to the position of people in the transgender community. Oh, man. In court, Mr. Rattleband argued that the date on his birth certificate was a mistake, even though he was born on that day, the 11th of March, 1949. So, literally not a mistake. The court agreed with him that his age is part of a person's identity, but unlike a person's gender or name, which Mr. Rattleband sought to draw comparisons to...
Mr. Rattleband!
I know. It had further complications. Rights and obligations are also attached to age. For example, the right to vote, the right to marry, the opportunity to drink alcohol and drive a car, the court said. It found that the possibility of declaring oneself younger could open the door to the opposite, becoming older. Yeah, you're right. So 16-year-old goes, no, I identify as 25. Hand over the booze.
Yeah.
In its judgment, the court said...
These legal people are so clever.
Tying him up in knots. The court said that granting the request would cause all kinds of legal problems by effectively erasing 20 years of events.
And it also be stupid.
I mean, what chance? It pondered what would happen to qualifications obtained in that time, or a driving licence issued, or a marriage solemnised. Solemnised. Who says solemnised? Well done, whoever wrote this.
That's a translation, isn't it?
No, it's the BBC.
Hang on. All right. Can we get this guy? Did we try and get this?
I tried. He's not responding because he doesn't identify as someone who responds to messages. It also said that
while... Farted, then. I laughed so much, a little fart popped out.
Do I get £5 for
no,
that?
That was you made me chuckle. This is why this show is great, because Catherine made me chuckle so much that just a squeezed out, just a tiny little part. Nothing offensive. Nothing
you
outrageous.
Say that. Well, I'll be the judge.
Just a tiny little. So thank you for that, Catherine.
That could be the new slogan for the late night alternative, like Wayne's World. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll fart.
The late night alternative. It's very farty. There's your video promotion.
You
when we start looking at the cameras, you know we're doing a video.
Okay.
What's that?
It also said while changes to the law to allow a person to change their gender took place following a global debate on such issues, no widespread advocacy for the change existed, except for Mr. Rattleband's lone case. If he felt discriminated against, the ruling said there were other ways to resolve that under the law. Jog on, Mr. Rattleband.
Can you hear someone? Is there someone there? I can hear something.
Hello?
Hello, who is this, please?
It's Susan.
I didn't know there was a caller there. Sam just put that through without me knowing.
Oh,
I can't see it on my screen or anything. Just heard someone... Are you eating a biscuit?
No,
you're looking at a custard cream?
No, can you hear that?
Yeah, it sounds like you're flapping away.
I'm clicking a button on my phone. I don't know what it is. I'm just
clicking the button
it.
On your what?
My phone.
Okay.
It's on the back of
can
the phone.
We ask
I don't
you
know what it is.
Can we ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you been back to Omar Sharif for some naughty,
no.
naughty action?
No.
No?
Good girl.
He's got somebody out on the go now.
Well,
she's,
he did before.
Know,
he had about 20 other people.
I know. He's got new. It just makes me feel sick. All the way along, I wanted to tell his main girlfriend, but I can't. I haven't got the guts because this one will turn nasty. Oh, let's not talk about it.
But why would
he's
you
want to?
Why
it.
Would you? Here's okay. Here's the
I
thing.
Wanted to. She doesn't
right.
know what he's doing.
She
doesn't
know.
Right.
Okay, but
she doesn't, Catherine. I swear to you,
okay.
she doesn't.
But okay, but here's
I
the.
I swear to you, Ian.
Okay, but don't swear. There's no need to swear. But you I knew that. You knew that. You knew the deal going in, right? You knew about her.
Yes, I did. Yes,
right.
I
so,
did.
So
and the
why?
Others. And the others I knew.
Okay, so what? So if you knew the deal,
yes.
what right do you have? To tell the main one.
Well,
that's just mean.
I think I just want someone who is ignorant to his behaviour to know because
why?
I think she spent. Because I think if you let me
it's
get
not,
my words
it's
out,
not, well, no,
here,
but it's not up
because
to you.
I think
it's not up to you
because
to make that
I
call.
Think
it's nothing to do with
I
what you
think. Shut up,
I
Ian.
I don't think you do think.
Ian,
I think you don't think.
Capiche? What am I doing now? You're making me shout already. I've only
I'm
been on
making,
air 2 minutes.
I'm not making you shout.
Because she has invested time and money in him.
Okay. Well, so, what gives you the right to tell her that? That's what gives you the right to ruin
what,
her dreams?
No, it's not ruining her dreams. It's making her aware of what he is.
No, well, but you knew what you knew what he
yes.
was.
Right, yes.
So you signed up. You cheated on her. You made her lie.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, you
I
did
know,
that.
But I'm willing to tell her that I did that. I'm
because
it,
only because he's now
it.
He's now let you down.
No.
Yes.
I wanted to tell her before.
You're as bad as him.
I know, in a way I am.
So you but want I, well, you want to confess your sins to her to make yourself feel better when it'll just make her feel miserable?
No,
that's a terribly selfish
no,
attitude
no,
to take.
No.
Yes.
I want to just make her aware of what he is.
Why? None of your business.
Because she's invested. It is really because I was one of the perpetrators.
Exactly.
Because, as I say, she's invested money and time in him, and she's going to invest some more.
So what?
In him, and so, I don't think it's fair. Some more time and money.
So what? You're jealous.
Well,
you're jealous that he wouldn't
no,
dump
I'm
everyone
not,
for you.
No, seriously, I'm not serious. I'm not jealous. I swear to you, I'm not. I could never be.
I'm not necessarily. No, by the way, I'm just.
Never,
shut up. Shut
you'd
up.
You'd never
shut
know
up.
Who. What
Stop talking.
Bed, you'd never
Stop
know
talking.
What bed he'd
be quiet.
Come out of.
Be quiet. Be quiet. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that's necessarily the point of view. I was just enjoying the thought exercise there of having the argument. I don't really
no,
care.
No, it's all right. You can have an argument
but,
if you want.
But,
you can say what you want.
Well, then, oh, okay. Shut up then. But I do think you are. No, it's not like 50-50 bad as him, but I'd say like maybe 80-20 as bad as him.
Shall I tell you what happened when I went to him after 7 years of, after about 8 years of not...
You have lots
you
of
see,
sex
when
in his mirrored bedroom.
When shall I just tell you something? When he first moved in, we had a fling and I pulled out because his behaviour was so dreadful I could see what he was. And I pulled out and I stayed
back.
Away for eight
you,
years.
You pulled out or...
And then in March of this year... In March of this year, one
in.
Afternoon, we bumped into each other.
Here we go.
At the fire door.
Sorry?
And
is that a euphemism?
At the fire door.
At the fire
the
door. Is that,
door.
Where's that round the back?
Oh, shut up, Ian. Catherine!
Well done, Susan. It needed saying. He's very rude, isn't
I spent in the last
and
2 days.
I went in there because I had been celibate and I wanted sex. And he was delicious.
Oh,
and
what, did
was
he, what did he taste
it was
of?
A stupid thing to do.
What did he taste of? Macaroons?
No.
What did he taste of then?
Nothing really.
Don't you remember? He's got this amazing animal magnetism, and he can see colours and
has.
Stuff.
So here's the
he
thing.
Has.
Here's the thing.
He has.
You felt horny. You wanted a shag. You had one, then you felt guilty, and then you wanted to go and tell his missus. Shame on you.
No.
Shame on
no,
you.
I've always wanted to tell her because he's been like it all the time
so
he's been
what?
Here.
So what? If he hadn't have been like
Why
that, you wouldn't...
I?
Because it's vindictive and it's mean and it's selfish.
It's not vindictive. What's vindictive about telling the truth and making her aware?
Well, because you did it.
You didn't tell her the truth when you had a chance to, when he before came, you got involved.
When
did
he
you?
Came and said, "Oh, Suzanne, I would like to make a love to you," you should have then, if you had any conscience,
I know,
you
I
could have
stupid.
Either you could have either walked away and got kept out for it's life, not, or you I could know. Have then got in touch with his missus and say, "Hey, Pedro's just tried it on with me." I think you should know that. He said you didn't. You said you tasted him and you said he was delicious and you became addicted to his taste.
Yes, I did.
His naughty taste.
Here's the thing, Susan. No good can be... I don't think any good can be achieved for your soul.
By telling her.
No, she's going to know. Come on, you would know if you were going out with someone who was carrying on with at least, at a conservative estimate, 15 other people.
Catherine, I swear to you, she doesn't know. Well, she doesn't come here very often. It's a distant sort of relationship. She pops up every now and again.
Handy for you.
She pops up every now and
very handy for you.
No, because I've told you it's not going to happen anymore.
Susan, I think you should concentrate.
What about when he came in your back door and he tasted delicious?
That was a mistake, and I've told you that I'm not going to do it anymore.
Good. Here's the thing. Concentrate on the things that you can control, right? There's no point...
Well, she can't control her knickers.
She can now. She's doing really well. So, keep your side of the street clean, Susan. Just keep away from him. And don't get involved in his circus. Here's the thing you've got to say to yourself.
Always
not my circus,
up.
Not my monkeys.
Always
not
rubber
my circus,
up.
My monkeys.
Exactly. You see, this is... I know I was a fool to relapse back into it. This last time.
And it's tough because you look like a cross between Kate Bush and Sherry Lungi, apparently. So you must have...
So what's that got to do with it?
Well, that means you must have surely a lot... Because those are two of the most beautiful women in the world. I don't believe it. But
they're not the most beautiful women in the world.
Kate Bush and Sherry Lungi, of course they are. That's why you picked them when you were making up what you look like. So you must have...
I'm a bit reclusive. I don't really go out.
Like Kate
Bush. She went reclusive after she had the baby, didn't she? Mm. She wouldn't let anybody look at him.
Good. So where'd she be?
She brought a farmhouse in Devon, didn't she? And
you know a lot about Kate Bush. A bit stalkery.
Somebody told me exactly where the farmhouse is.
Omar when he was ploughing you?
Stop it.
No. His name's not Omar, actually.
Well, no names, no pack drills.
I didn't want to talk about that. Well,
yeah, you seem a very open lady.
Catherine, I've got an open mind.
Yeah, look, just so yeah,
stop
open legs.
Stop.
Well, I think I was doing well for 8 years of celibacy. After 8 years of celibacy, don't you? And I didn't miss it particularly, just occasionally. And I've been celibate in my life before.
Right. Okay. Yes. Mm? But we all know the thing.
I know how to close my legs. Thank you.
Well. Do you though? That's the question. Do you?
Of course I do. I've just told you I was
really?
Celibate 8 years.
Well, what about this?
I had been celibate and I wanted sex.
What about that? What about that?
Hey, there's no shame in that.
What about it?
I wanted sex. When did you? I wanted sex. I wanted sex. And I want it now. No,
oh, she's swallowed something.
I shall keep my legs.
Who's there with you? What are you drinking?
I've got some water at the side of the bed.
Good for you. Oh. We're in bed, are you? You can't stay away. What do you want for Christmas?
I wanted sex.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do.
Can I ask you a question, Ian? I wanted sex.
Yeah.
When was the last time you got your leg over?
Oh, you dirty woman! Are you inviting me round for a bunk-up?
You must be joking. I've had enough with him.
So you're never having sex ever again?
Probably not, no.
Oh, come on, Susan. That's cutting your nose off to spite your face or some other
member. Well, do you think... I think I've had quite enough, don't you?
How much have you had?
Well, we didn't do it that often.
Okay.
Once every few days.
Okay. Well,
then he would leave me 1 or 2 weeks.
Anyway, let's not think about that now.
But you see, basically, it was all about him. It was when he wanted it.
Well, it wasn't always when he wanted it.
Was it?
And I wanted sex.
So you got it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
What on earth are you showing me? A bare arse.
Instagram, right? They get festive. And the latest thing, apparently, is to barbelise your bum. Or make your boobs into puddings.
I don't like Christmas pudding. I put some cream over them, though.
Oh, you animal.
Okay, let's go to Dwayne. Good evening, Dwayne.
Hello, are you all right, Ian?
I'm all right, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
I'm good, pal. I just want to say, for the last 2 years, you've carried me a long way from the dark path.
Oh. Are you a Satanist?
No. I've been released on a license, obviously a life license from prison.
Oh, hey. Dwayne, can you do us a favour? Can you turn the radio off?
Okay, hold on.
Cheers, man, because
I'm in an octoduct, so I've got a radio at the minute, I haven't got a TV, so I'm just turn it down.
Yeah, just turn it down, because otherwise it gets a bit confusing because of the delay. Go on, so what's happened?
I got released today to an hostel after 17 RPs in custody. Uh-oh. And for the last 2.5, and from when I first, in fact, when I got to like you, we're on the, I'm a celebrity.
Yeah, all right. So, hang on, so what, you were in custody for 17 years?
In fact, Ian, I got remanded on the 5th of the 9th, year 2001, just before the September 11th attacks.
Well, so that it means you weren't involved in those, and that's something. You were out of the police inquiries for that. So
yeah, no. I did something very wrong, which...
Oh, 17 years.
I have to live with it.
Yeah.
But I did something wrong. I got a life sentence, and they released me today in an hostel.
So today you got out, and you said this is your first day out of prison?
In an hostel. This is the first time I've listened to you as a free man, even though I'm in an hostel.
And you chose to call us, man. Thank you.
Lads listen to you in prison. Now we're in Wakefield Prison. All the lads listen to you in there.
Yes, Wakefield Prison!
Big up yourselves.
Listen, guys, trust me. Get through Christmas, everyone in Wakefield Prison. I'm coming up there next year. I'm going to bring some drones. I'm going to get some good gear in there for you. We're going to get some files. We're going to break you out! Wakefield Prison's going to break!
That's how I got to listen to you, because it says, listen to Ian Lee. Late night talk show. Talk radio.
Yeah.
So did it in my debut. I thought, what the sad. Obviously, other stations that, what's it called? Same station, but on a Saturday night. Badass girls and all that crap. And I thought, what? This is a rape station.
Yeah, yeah. So, hang on a minute. Let me ask. So, this is your first day out, man. This is a huge day. And we're going to step back in a second. But how do you feel? The moment you step out of Nick for the first time, I've got no idea what that's like. Is it overwhelming? Is it exciting? Is it kind of nothing? How does it feel?
Well, to be honest, Ian, when I got released, I had to get escorted to approved premises by police officers.
Right.
So they dropped me off at premises, did me induction there, showed me my room, then I went out, and it's like
wow.
And it's a shock.
Are you allowed to now walk out of that hostel if you want, or have you got, a curfew, or do you have to tell people?
Yeah, I've got a curfew from 10 a.m. till 7 a.m. in the morning, but apart from that...
So 7 o'clock in the morning, you could go out and go for a walk?
Yeah.
For the first time in 17 years?
Yeah.
How does that feel, man?
It's to be honest, it scared the life of me today. I could have gone out that afternoon, but I didn't. I was sat and I thought, I can't get my head around it, to be honest.
Oh, I bet. Isn't that interesting? First day out and you stayed in.
I bet the world feels massive.
It does. Not only that, I see all these, new cars.
Smartphones.
These, super space buses and what.
Super space buses! Where have they released him? all right, listen, I've got to ask the question. 17 years, man, that is a long time. What did you do?
I don't like to reflect on it, Lee, but... I got a life sentence for this I got a life year sentence with a 15-year type by 17.5.
So that's a murder, right?
I don't like to reflect on it.
All right, but I have to ask, just because some people go, well, you got to ask. All right. So I've asked, all right, and we've got a vague idea. How are you feeling about staying on the straight and narrow?
Oh, yeah, listen, I'm not a robber, I'm not a thief. What I did for a reason. But at the time,
it was the wrong reason that I suffer consequences for it, and I probably will for the rest of my life.
Oh, man.
So I don't like robbing, I don't like stealing. And like the judge says, I'm not risking nobody else. It was just a one-off. Yeah. I got a payback, that's all I did.
Yeah. Well, you see, I have to say, it's all you did. You know, it's there were obviously people that were severely impacted by your actions. It sounds like you're aware of that severe impact. And I don't want to dwell on that, but, you know. All right. Well, listen, man, this is an exciting... This is it. This is the turning point of your life. You can now... Well, you can now go in any direction you want. What have you got any idea of what you want to do?
To be honest, I am. It's like, obviously, I've got restrictions. I have to keep sound on every 2 hours and curfew, so we'll make sure in daytime that I'm not out of the bar, so they're monitoring me. Just, it's overwhelming, to be honest. It's like, when I first smelled that tarmac, in fact, I seen a green field. When I went to Cannes, I thought, I just want to go out to Cannes, step on that green grass. Because when I'm in Wakefield, there's no green grass, it's all concrete.
Well, tomorrow, why don't you go and step in some green grass?
I'll eat it tomorrow.
Don't eat it! Probably got dog shit all over it.
That's not changed.
You don't want to do that, man, but go out. Go out and be with nature tomorrow if you can.
I was ringing Seth for the last couple of years. I was tuning into you, and I thought, every single night, from 10 till what? You made me smirk and smile before I went to bed.
Wicked, thank you. Hey, listen, Dwayne, I'm slightly speechless because I don't know how to... This is an amazing call, man. This is an amazing call, and I really appreciate the fact that we helped you and other people in prison. That means a lot. I really appreciate the fact that on your first day you phoned us up. Yeah, go on.
Wakefield, lads, I know there are... you know what Wakefield's got a nickname called Monster Mansion? Because it's full of monsters. Very, very, very bad people.
Oh, God.
But they all tune into you and listen to you every single night. They all do when we get cabined up, all the stay for lockdown, double check for roll check for 9, and they all tune in for your 10. They do. I know it sounds bad, because obviously not all monsters, but it's Monster Mansion, but they all listen
Monster
to you.
Monster Mansion. Well, hello, Monster Mansion. Dwayne, would you mind giving us a call if you're around? He's got a curfew. Maybe Monday night, and just letting us know. No, hang on, we're on Monday. Give us a call later in the week, maybe even tomorrow if you want, and just let us know how you're settling in or settling out, and how it's going for you and stuff.
Yeah, I will do.
Give us a call tomorrow if you get the chance, Dwayne. Otherwise, we'll speak to you later in the week.
Okay, Doug. Thank you.
All right, man. Did you call me Duck?
Bye. Yeah.
Call me Duck.
Yeah. He must be a Nottingham lad.
I'm gonna find him. Thank you, Dwayne. 17 years, that is something. That is a very naughty crime. And I don't want to in any way demean what he did. He said, well, all I did was this. Well, all you did, I would imagine, had a very, very severe impact on at least one person and probably quite a lot of people. Quite possibly a murder. Sounds like, you know, we're all making up kind of our own stories as to what it was there. So not in any way justifying what he did. It's a weird one, because I'm so pleased that people listen to us in prison. I often thought that they might do, but I was never quite sure. Now we have proof that they do.
And as if they hadn't suffered enough.
Yeah, shut your face. and I'm really grateful for that phone call. And I really wish Dwayne the very, very best of luck, man. Yeah. Trying to rebuild your life after that. But then part of me was thinking, well, supposing it was a murder, let's assume. What if the wife of that guy that got killed was there, or the daughter or the mum was listening to this and thinking, well, hang on a minute, you're giving that scumbag... It's tough, isn't it?
Here's the deal. Everyone gets to call us.
Yeah, you're right.
Whatever Dwayne's done, justice system says that he's out. And he's got to become part of society. And that sounds like it's a really daunting thing. I mean, it's only day one. And he feels like a spaceman. Mm. Everyone gets to ring.
Matty says, gosh, what a change from Susan's back doors to Dwayne, who served a life sentence in prison. It is, isn't it?
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, I've got my first mince pie of the year as well. Here we go. Let's speak to Manny. Good evening, Manny.
Good evening, mate. You okay? I'm eating a mince pie, Manny.
Good. I am good. He says that I've got this thing I've been thinking about. It might be daft, but I think it's worth asking. You know, in a game of cricket, right? You know, the matches are always called test matches. And the question is, when are they going to play the real match?
Yay! Hey! Manny! Yes, mate!
Yeah, when are they going to play the real match? You know what I mean? I've been waiting for it for like 42 years now.
That is good! I like it!
I saw my deep pain.
Yes, mate! I don't know. When are they going to play the real matches? You don't really like cricket, do you, Manny?
I hate it. Good. It's a game for the lazy boys, you know? I don't want to swear, to be honest.
Well, don't
swear,
please.
I'm trying to keep myself down.
Yes. A game for the lazy boys. Lazy boys.
And they say test match. And I'm like, when are they going to play the real match? Are they just keeping us in the limbo, keeping us in the dark, or playing it somewhere that we don't know?
Manny, nice to talk to you, mate. Good call. Thank you, buddy.
Yes, mate. Cheers.
Tatty bye. What a nice guy. That's the best joke we've had. Tonight, we've only had two jokes.
Excellent joke, yeah.
It's a good old joke. Billy says, block me. Why block me? Steve Allen is twice the git you are. Great guy.
That's not a compliment, is it?
Billy's such a knobber.
I don't miss that guy. I blocked him.
I unblocked him because I'm misreading. Like, you know that Twitter is full of stupid people, right?
Yeah.
But Billy's the stupidest. And I just misreading comments like that are so dumb. And I show them to my 6-year-old kid and go, right, can you work out how to make this sentence better? And he does within seconds.
Yeah, hit delete. That would make it infinitely better.
Here's the thing, Billy, right? Who's the dickweed? You for listening to the show you don't like and constantly tweeting me.
And tweeting two people, one of whom has blocked you.
Yeah, right. Or me for dangling a little bit of wool in front of you like a kitten. And getting paid a lot of money for it. Just the guy who's not getting paid and is getting angry because I wouldn't give him private details. This is why he's angry, because I wouldn't give him the phone number for a regular caller and I wouldn't watch a UB40 documentary he recommended, right? So who's the loser here? The guy who's getting angry about that and is constantly tweeting me, or the guy who's dangling that little bit of string and he's laughing and he's getting paid a lot of money? Just have a little thing, Billy.
Have you seen what he's tweeting now? I tried calling in at the end of last week. I was on hold for ages. 40 seconds or 4 minutes.
That's a lie. That's actually a lie.
We know that you were ringing and hanging up straight away. That's and then not answering your phone.
That's a lie, Billy. That's a lie. That's a lie.
Anyway, it's been fun.
Here's the thing, Bills. I can see. I've got the phone board in front of me, the switchboard in front of me. I saw you ring up, you come on air. Probably takes about 35 seconds to get through. So you got about 35 seconds, then you had 5 seconds when you got through, and then you hung up. So do it, dude. Just give us a call, man. We'll put you straight through. We'll call you back. We'll put you straight through. It's as simple as that. It really is. But, of course, you won't. Let's go to Pete. Good evening, Pete.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Peter. Do you mind if I enjoy a mince pie?
Yeah, I don't like mince pies. I'd rather have apple pies.
Apple pies are great.
I'd rather have an apple pie, but I'm a mince pie. It was all that was there. There was no apple pies there.
Well, there you go, then. Enjoy it.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm enjoying it.
Fantastic.
But now you've made me feel bad, so I can't enjoy it. Because you've made me wish that I had an apple pie.
Oh, do you remember when?
I had an apple pie as well.
Do you remember when they started doing the apple pies with the bit of custard inside on top? Oh,
it was like when they started doing chips with ketchup inside. Do you remember them?
No, I never tried that.
No, they did chips with ketchup inside. But we all know the only good ketchup is Heinz. All other ketchups are pony, and this was not Heinz ketchup inside. No, it was not a Heinz endorsed product.
No, you're spoiling it now.
Or what?
You're spoiling it now.
I'll spoil your face in a minute with a fish. What have you got?
Right, I rang up a few months back, and I came on a different name. I was the one who was a cross-dresser and bisexual, and I told my daughter...
Oh, yes, you were going up to... Was it Manchester or Liverpool?
Blackpool.
Blackpool. There, I knew there was a pool in there.
Do you know something, Pete? We went and did an event about 3 weeks ago, and someone came up to us and talked to us about your call. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and said how...
Said you were a dirty pervert and you need your bum slapped.
No, not at all. Saying how...
Sounds good to me.
How saying how brilliant you sounded and how proud of your daughter you should be, is what they said.
Oh, it's all changed since then. I've actually told my son now.
And?
He's made up. He loves it.
He's made up. This is great.
Yeah. I told my mum and dad.
You have the... what did your mum and dad say?
Mum wasn't bothered, and my dad says he thinks I'm too old and I'm having a midlife crisis.
Hey, listen, whatever gets him through the night.
And do you know what? Yeah. It could have been worse.
I'm not bothered what they think.
You have the most liberal and open-minded offspring I've ever come across. This is awesome.
My daughter's already helped me go out on a date. She's done my makeup for me and helped me and gone shopping with me.
Flipping heck, man.
I know, I'm doing well.
You're having a time of your life. This is fantastic.
I am indeed.
When you go out dressed up, right?
Yeah.
Because if I go out wearing like a loud hat or something, you know, when I go out, I kind of dress quite conservatively, right?
Yeah.
So if I wear anything that draws stares from people, I feel a little bit self-conscious.
Yeah.
Do you get that when you get dressed?
Yes. I don't go out looking loud. I like to go out looking normal and conservative, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So you dress kind of age appropriate?
Yes, yeah. So it could be like jeans and boots and a top or something like that or whatever, really, a nice dress. It depends how I feel at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't get looks.
No, because it's not all feather boas and sequined hats, I'm guessing.
No, I'm not pushing myself out there as something I'm not.
Oh, no, and I wasn't saying you suggest you go out dressed up like a tart. but just the very fact that you're wearing women's, women's clothing. My wording is slightly clumsy there, but you know what I mean. And so maybe it doesn't even attract stares when you go out dressed up. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. So
there you go.
I'm completely at ease when I do, and no one's said anything. No one's looked at me sideways.
Well, aren't we?
Come on?
I was about to say, aren't certain pockets of this country very progressive? I'm sure there are still some places where you'd get a little bit of abuse, and little bit of whatever. But the fact that you haven't had any is, I think, heartening to all of us, apart from maybe Ken from Newcastle, but his opinion doesn't count. I think it's beautiful, man. Absolutely beautiful. Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, so life has changed for me now. Everything's pretty good.
You sound like a weight has been lifted.
It has. I told my brother tonight, and he said, do you know what? You've totally changed. And he wanted to see a photograph of me, my brother. And he said, wow, you look like my sister.
There you go.
I look exactly like my sister, apparently, so...
This can't be bad. This is such a lovely story, Pete. Roughly what percentage of time are you dressed in traditional gentleman's clothes and roughly what percentage of time are you dressed in traditionally female clothes?
Well, at this moment in time, I'm virtually all male.
Okay.
Because of work.
Yeah.
I'm a DJ, mobile DJ. And I'm actually going to turn that into a drag DJ next year.
Yes, here we go.
And also, another reason why I've got to stay male is I'm Santa Claus.
Well, you say that. My mum was Santa Claus once. And she dropped my dad off at work beforehand and gave him a kiss in the car, forgetting herself. And apparently the little boy in the car next to her was quite staggered.
I can imagine.
I don't know if I listen, the whole trans, cross-dressing, whatever you guys want to call it, I'm cool with that. One thing I'm not cool with is a woman pretending to be Father Christmas. Did she have a beard?
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. That is.
You know why, though? Because Father Christmas couldn't make it, so it was that or nothing.
Well, then nothing.
Wow.
No, that's inappropriate. Supposing a kid had sat on her lap, you're not allowed to sit on your laps now, which is wrong.
It was the olden days, they were.
Okay, and he found a boobie.
In her lap? She wasn't that old.
No, but she... Well, first of all, your mother is too tiny to be Father Christmas.
Father Christmas was born in the olden days. Everyone was tiny.
But also, the boobs stick out. I don't know if you know, but boobs stick out.
Yeah, but she had a belly to match that time, didn't she? Because she had the padding.
Okay. All right, fine. Well, I don't...
I can take my boobs off.
Yeah, well, I disapprove of that. That is a step too far, I think, what your mother did. That disappoints me. Whereas Pete, to me, is an absolute hero. Hey, nice one, Pete. Thank you for the update. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for being there, because when I did ring you up the first time, I think I must have been maybe a little bit in pieces or whatever, but really unconfident. But
you sounded
a
little bit nervous, and now tonight you sound very relaxed and in control and very happy, and that's all we can ask for. All I want, is people to be happy. So yeah. I want Billy to phone in so we can make peace. He's angry. He's bashing his head against the Twitter wall. I want everyone to be happy. Everyone be happy and just get on with each other if you can. And if you can't get on with someone, well, then just don't move in their circles.
Hey, Pete, I can't wait to hear about your adventures in drag. I mean, these days, you're lucky you've got loads of YouTube tutorials, people showing you how it's done, because there's loads of great tricks there.
Oh, my daughter's watching YouTube all the time, getting makeup tips. She wants to do all this drag makeup on me. I said, I haven't got the clothes yet.
Well,
give us a chance.
I can't wait to hear about it. Good luck.
Oh, thanks a lot, you two. You're amazing. You're legends.
I look forward to meeting you when you're dressed up in your going out clothes at some point.
Aye, aye.
Nice one, Billy. Billy, I'm thinking that. Nice one, Pete. Take care. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Isn't that nice? What lovely kids. Well, it's a sign of you've done a good job. If that their attitude is to go, oh, nice one, brilliant, can we help? Great work. And actually, from his parents as well. I thought that was pretty progressive.
Massively.
You know? There you go. The switchboard is empty. 03444991000. Lots of new callers we've had the last week or so. I enjoyed Manny's joke about the cricket.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I'm going to use that one.
I'm going to... Well, you've got cricket...
I've got cricket problems at home, yeah.
Cricket problems at home. 03444991000, the late night alternative with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Michael's been waiting the longest. Hello, Michael.
Good morning or evening, I'm not quite sure. I'm over in Belgium, so it's I'm an hour ahead.
It's slightly different. Have you had a sleep?
No, I've just arrived in Belgium.
Well, then it's...
driven all the way from Portsmouth.
It's still good evening, then.
Okay, cool.
That's fine, as long as we get there. As long as we get there. What are you doing over there, man?
I'm here to work for the week.
Well, sounds absolutely lovely. I hope you can have a great time. Enjoy the food. Great food over there.
I will try.
Yeah, all right. Go on, what you got for us?
Okay, well, I just wanted to give my experience reference Twitter and the legitimacy of not having a photo, etc., blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I've never been into social media, never had a Facebook, haven't got Instagram, anything like that. About 3-4 years ago, my brother, who's very close to me, is becoming a little bit of a minor celebrity on TV.
Oh.
So I got myself a Twitter account to keep an eye on what he's up to, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I discovered that actually by the more comments I sort of made, 95% of his feedback would be positive,
yeah.
5% would be crap. Yeah. And I just found myself getting obsessed with replying to all the negative comments he was getting. My brother turned around and said to me, Mike, just leave it, just let it go. Don't worry, there'll always be like dodgy comments. So I started a second Twitter account without, obviously, my face and name in order to sort of give my point of view to anyone that was criticising him. Sounds petty, I know, but... So I sort of swing with two accounts.
Well,
my photo.
Yeah, what's the non-legit one for? What do you do with that one?
Well, basically, whenever my brother does a TV programme or anything, he gets, like, dodgy feedback.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it's non-factual or people just putting in rubbish.
Yeah.
And, I like to be the Twitter crusader that corrects them.
But you do it. You do that from the anonymous account?
I do, yeah.
Why don't you do it... Well, I would have thought you'd... why don't you do it from the real account?
Because I don't know. Probably because it just sort of shows an obsession and...
Well, no, it shows you looking after your brother.
Well, yeah, to a degree, but then people say to me, and certainly since I've started my own business the last 6 months, people are going to me, oh, so read your comments on Twitter again, Mike. Da, da, da. Well, maybe the guy had a point. Da, da, da. And with clients, etc., it just seems...
Okay, well, here's another question. Why do you feel, and this is something I struggle with, so I've not got an answer for this, this isn't a judgment, but why do you feel you have to say anything?
truth be known, because I'm just so proud of him and where he's got to and where he's come from.
Is arguing with, and this, I'm almost saying this to myself, right? So how is arguing with a bellend who doesn't know your brother, doesn't know anything about your family, how is arguing with him going to show how proud you are of your brother? You know how proud you are. Hopefully your brother knows how proud you are. So how is arguing with some knob on Twitter going to highlight that? Hang on.
Because sometimes it affects the opinion of other people. I can give you an example quickly.
Yeah, go on. Give me an example.
Okay, look, it just came down from Everest not long ago. It was aired on Channel 4.
Yeah.
Ant Middleton. I don't know if you know the guy or you saw it.
He's got the thickest beard.
Yes.
Yeah.
In show business.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Oh, wicked. All right. Okay, nice one. It's your little brother.
Basically, yeah, he's 2 years younger.
Oh, God. Imagine how big are you?
Everest.
Yeah.
He got down from Everest. Everything was brilliant. Loads of positive feedback. And then there were people that were mentioning about the Sherpa that was left behind.
Right.
And it was nothing to do with him. Wasn't even part of his sort of crew or climb or anything like that.
Right.
And there were just loads of people coming in. Well, not loads, but a few people coming in going, you know, he's left someone behind, blah, blah, blah. He's arrogant. He shouldn't have stayed at the top as long as he did. Right. Duh, duh, duh. And I know, obviously, he's my little bro. I know there's no way that he would have sort of left anyone or been arrogant in any way whatsoever.
Right.
And I don't know, it just winds me up.
But most people would know that he wouldn't leave anyone behind. Go on, Kath, you're going to say something. I'm struggling to put this into words.
Because I know exactly what you're talking about. Because, when Ian bears his soul online and people, or if he's ever on television and people have a go at him, it gets on my nerves as well. And I feel very protected. No, when people have a go at you.
Okay.
But what I found is more effective than engaging with them is going through their Twitter feed and reporting everything that I can and getting them shut down.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. Well, to be honest with you, I've got to the stage, as I said when I started the call, I've got no sort of social media. I have Facebook, Instagram, never have had. It's only since I opened the Twitter account to follow my brother that I started seeing all these comments. Yeah. But now I'm starting to realise that, do you know what, most of those comments are coming from people that are there's so many weirdos out there.
Yeah.
They are having less significance with time.
They're jealous is what they are.
But this is the thing, man, right? It's because I argue too much on Twitter, and I have great periods when I don't because I block it on my phone and then I dive back into it and stuff. But nobody wins. In the arguments on Twitter, nobody wins. The people that think your brother is an arsehole are still going to think he's an arsehole. Whatever you say, right? Whatever evidence you say, yeah, but yesterday he gave £1 million to charity. Well, he's still an a-hole, right? That is not going to... You are not going to change their opinions with whatever you offer them. So why bother? Why not just phone your brother up and say, I love you? Why not get on with your job? Why not... Do you know what I mean? And again, I'm not having a go, because I do the same thing. I do the same thing when people have a go at me or have a go at Kath, is I wade in and think, no. I've got to get the record straight. When actually getting the record straight don't achieve nothing.
No.
Yeah. And I think with my experience of social media, I was taking every comment to heart,
as
if someone was saying it to me. And with time, you kind of realise that, do you know what, people just put comments for the sake of it as well sometimes, for the shock value.
They don't see your brother as a real person. They think he's on such a pedestal, he's never going to read it anywhere, who cares? They're surprised, actually, that it ever gets back to them, even though they're atting them. You know, most of the time it's people who don't think past that moment. Sometimes they send it at wine time, do you know what I mean?
And people are horrible online, mainly because they're behind false names and false pictures. Someone just tweeted me 3 reasons why they think it's okay to be anonymous online, which I said, now tweet me a good reason. I'll read those out in a minute. Here's the thing, Michael. Can I say something about your brother?
Yeah, go ahead.
I could beat him in a fight any day, man. Any day. You tell him I said that, Michael. I will destroy him. I will destroy him. He may have SAS training. Don't be in a rush to tell him. But I've got ninja training, right? And ninja beats SAS any time of the day, brother.
Hey, I wonder whether there's a thing in there as well about the fact that your brother is like the ultimate butch.
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
Ex-SAS. So to some blokes who are insecure anyway and feeling inferior... That's why they're going for him. It's jealousy. Yeah. It's jealousy and insecurity.
What's it like? Because he's a big star now. That boy.
He's getting there.
He's there. He's crossed that line now. He's going to be sorted, and he is a bit of a hero to a lot of people.
And Bear Grylls is worried.
Well, good. He should be. I got people tweeting me saying, "I think Ant is superb." To pass on my best wishes to him. What's it like watching your brother get famous?
It's unbelievable. We grew up in France, and we didn't have the best childhood, so we both used joining the forces as an excuse to move back to the UK. So he sort of quit school at 15, 16, joined the army. Mm. I quit school. I quit college. I was just under 18, joined the Air Force. And we both moved back to the UK with nobody but each other.
Mm.
And to see him get where he's got now, it's just a dream come true. It's amazing. I landed back yesterday. We've been in Iceland the last 4 days filming some bits and bobs. And he's got to be really careful with his social media and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's being sort of run for him, but he does take control of it sometimes.
Mm.
And he can be a little bit direct himself. But,
this is the thing. He doesn't want to, in a moment of anger, he doesn't want to tweet anything that is the papers go, aha, we've got him. Did you see this tweet where he threatened to punch someone in the face? Trained killer threatens, you know, it's all that kind of
thing. Because here's the thing, it's about brand management now. He's bigger than that.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And now he's doing really well. So to come from where he's come from, happy days.
He's a legend, so. Michael. Listen, you have a lovely, are you seeing him over Christmas?
Yeah, I'll be seeing him. He's going away for Christmas, but I'll be seeing him before, yeah.
So, well, listen, send him our best. Good. He's got an open invitation anytime he wants to come on here and try and take me on.
And to paraphrase Katy Perry, a lion doesn't care what the sheep say.
There we go. Michael,
Ian, a lot of our members of our family are big fans of yours, so I'll have a word with Ant. I'll get him to take you up on that.
Oh, listen, man, you made me smile that some of you lot listen. Have a lovely, safe journey, and we'll speak again soon, Michael. Thank you, mate.
Yeah,
and your brother
I'm
sure your brother's just as proud of you as you are of him as well.
For sure.
Nice
if you see him topless, not that you'd want to see him topless, but first ever tattoo he got was across his heart as my initials.
There you go. That's a little bit weird, but that's wicked.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, listen, it's nice to talk to you, Michael. Thank you, mate. I appreciate that.
Easy.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta.
Interesting.
What a nice guy.
Yeah,
what
I get
nice
it.
Nice guy.
I completely get it.
Where was the tweets with the... hang on a minute. Let me find... just retweeted three reasons why it's... Sylvia Soul says, here's three good reasons why being anonymous and not using your own picture online. One, in increasingly intolerant, polarised, censorship-driven world, many of it are intolerant of and hostile to others' views. Well, I don't know where the censorship comes from, because you can say pretty much anything you want on Twitter, can't you? As long as it's...
Well, as long as it's not harassment or fueling hate.
But also, intolerant and polarised, I think a lot of that is because we're not looking at real people. I'm looking at your name, Silver Soul, and the picture is two hands holding a planet, it looks like. It's too small to see. Maybe if I was looking at... let's assume your name is Sylvia Smith. I'm sure if I was Sylvia Smith and I was looking at a picture of you, maybe my slightly flippant will now give me a good reason retweet, I would feel less inclined to do that. I think if we're looking at each other and we're using real names, and also with real names, if someone threatens to kill me right on there, I can find out, with a little bit of work, you can probably find out where they are. I think everyone would be more tolerant if we used our real names. Point two. Second reason, you can express views without social media owner collecting that data. There's a reason social media is free. Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, of course, that's part of the deal when you sign up to Facebook and Twitter. That's the deal. If you don't want to have your info harvested, then don't sign up to it. And also, so what? They've got your email address. That's all they need. What are they going to do with your name? So they know my name is Ian Lee, and they've got my email address. So what? What does that gain Twitter? I'm on Facebook But I don't... I've got about six friends, and I have a Facebook account because I've got, like, an Ian Lee fan page, and you need to have an account to run the fan page. And I've also got a record label on there. I don't use Facebook. I don't post pictures of my kids on there. I don't post on there. That's bullshine as well. You don't want them to harvest your data. Don't use it. I don't use Facebook. And number three, no need for self-affirmation, personal glory, social acceptance. Reason for not using your real name is no need for self-affirmation, personal glory, social acceptance. I don't... that sounds like bollocks to me. If I'm honest, that sounds like utter tosh. Try again. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
I think sweating cobwebs is a phrase.
No, sweating cobs. He's
no.
doing a crazy play on words.
I think sweating cobwebs. Oh, that ended rather suddenly. Just like John Lennon. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, let's just start straight into the calls. I'm in that kind of mood. Good evening, Patrick.
Ian, good evening. How are you?
None of your business. What do you want?
Just thought I'd give you a quick call because I looked on social media recently and you were complaining that you only had the same callers calling in.
Oh!
So I thought, you know what?
Hey!
Why don't I just break the mould and just say hello?
Break the mould and there's me gobbing off at you straight away. No wonder we don't have new callers. It's just me shouting at people.
Well, to be fair, it was a little bit rude, but no, we can crack on from here if you
well,
don't
here's
mind.
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to come up with a snappy... Do you remember Mike Dickin, Patrick?
I certainly do.
He was a big old lad, passed away a few years ago, I think 10 years ago, maybe more.
God bless him.
And people would say, how are you doing, Mike? My health is not in question. That was the response. Perfect response. My health is not in question. And it was a way of just saying, get on with it. Let's just get to the point of the call. There's none of the chit-chat.
No, I shouldn't have said that because that's a little bit sleepy.
So I'm trying to come up with a 21st century Ian Lee late night alternative equivalent of my health is not in question. None of your business. Maybe if I try, ask me again.
Can we try it again?
Ask me again. Go on.
Oh, hello, Ian. It's Patrick here.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing? I'm doing it now.
Don't.
Right, start again. Let's go to Patrick.
Hello. How are you, Ian?
That's none of your business.
It works.
A bit friendlier? Less aggressive?
Yeah. Don't feel so bad now.
That's none of your business.
That's a private matter.
Well, no, that
but
sounds...
But it's not, though, is it? Because you're always going on about
that
it.
That sounds like you've got, like, a disease or something.
A private matter.
That's my private matter.
Oh, dear.
So, have you got anything to contribute to the show other than being a brand new voice on a brand new day?
No, literally, I was just responding to the social right. media for Rory that came out of what you said. So
I like your balls. Hang on a minute.
Did you say I like your balls?
I do like your balls. Okay. Right. Here's the thing. This is the show. This is the show tonight, Patrick, and I'm glad you're involved because I like you a lot. You sound like a powerful person, and that's what we need. We're going to have a peaceful revolution. No violence, okay? It's come to my attention that the government and the opposition ain't got a clue what they're doing, and they're ballsing up the country. We need new blood, right? And I've just got to say, I'm not in any way encouraging bloodshed, but we need new blood. I want to have a peaceful revolution. I want us to storm the Houses of Parliament. Sorry, who's that in the background?
No, that's just me.
Okay. Like the Paul McCartney song we just played. And I want to take over and have a new government. Now, obviously, I am the Prime Minister. That goes without saying. Would you like to be a member of my new cabinet?
I would love to be a member of the new cabinet.
What job do you want, Patrick? I'm letting you choose. I'm going to assign some people, but I'm going to let you choose, Patrick, because I like you. Go on, what are you going to be?
I'd like to be involved in, I don't know if they call it customer relations in the government, but the equivalent of customer relations.
Well, okay, I'm going to make you the Minister for Customer Relations. So what? If
Thank
people
you
have
very
got
much.
People got beef with the government, they come to you, and you give them like
Absolutely.
A voucher or something.
It would be a pleasure. No, I really would love to do it.
All right, dude, you got the job, Patrick. It's that easy.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much indeed yourself, brother. 0344
499 1000 is the phone number. We're going to start a new government. What position do you want?
I'd like
listener.
To...
Oh, you can be in it as well. I'm the Prime Minister. Who are you going to be?
I don't know if I want to be in your government.
Well, you've got no choice.
Right, I'll be Michael Govan. That's what he does, isn't it?
Okay, right. All right, well, I'm going to put you down as that. So Catherine is going to be... I'm going to put you down as the Minister for Michael Gove.
Yeah.
Minister for Michael Gove. There we go. We've got ourselves...
Doesn't really want to be in it, but better in than out.
In it to win it.
And waiting for my time, yeah. That...
03. This is what we're doing tonight, guys. We're having fun.
Ian.
Hello, oh. Sam.
Sorry.
Hang on a minute.
Loud.
We don't speak. You don't. Sorry. Don't, can, sorry. Can, don't speak to me during the show.
No, no. I forgot to tell you. You need to remember to both. You need to sit side by side. Bosses.
Why?
Bosses order.
What do you mean?
He said he's trying out something new, and so instead of sitting opposite one another, you need to sit side by side.
This is seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I can't go over there because the computer is here.
No, as in Kath needs to swivel around.
There is, she
oh,
can,
again.
There is
so
no
is
room.
So he has to compromise. I like it over here. I'm far enough away. And Ian is, like, kind of
all right. Well, listen,
explosive at the moment because of the vegetarian diet.
I've got a lot. Who is that? Hang on. Who is that?
I'll be Deputy Prime Minister.
You'll be lucky.
If you get a bullet in your head.
If I get a bullet in my head? You heard that. Clip that. Send that to the police. That is a threat. Right, Catherine, come... I mean, this is not going to work. Because now there's only... OK, well, here's the thing, Denny Morris, boss. That means there's only one person riding the dump button. You happy with that? You happy with that? How is this going to work?
I'm coming over there, but don't touch me.
I'm not going to touch you.
Don't.
This is awkward.
Whose button is this?
Well, now you're not talking into the microphone.
My microphone is not on. Can you turn it up, someone?
It's on.
The person in charge of it.
It's on. But now, look at the difference in height. You look ridiculous and I look hot.
Let me put my chair up. Oh, I want a bit off.
I'll come down a bit. Oh, <where's> the...
Hello.
Flipping it, man. Is this seriously what we have to do?
You can come up a little bit.
You go up.
Up?
Yeah. This is great fun for people listening at home in black and white. Kath is now sat next to me, but above me.
My feet aren't touching the floor.
Why is this a thing? When has this ever been a thing in radio? I bet the idiots that edit, and this video is going to go online. I know how this works now. Well, now I bet the idiots that edit this have said, oh, yeah, it's really tricky.
Should I pass you the mouse?
It's because you're looking at... A bit,
you have that.
It's too difficult to edit the video between the two cameras, so can we just make it one camera? Flipping heck, man. This is balls.
Cat jumper looks good, though, doesn't it?
Cat jumper does look wicked, actually. I will give you that. Well, let's see. Hey, listen, I'm open to new suggestions. I will try new things. Let's go to Mickey. Good evening, Mickey.
Good evening, Ian and Cass.
Good evening, Mickey. We are sat side by side for the first time ever in our friendship. And feels weird. Does this look okay, Sam? Is this what he wanted? Okay, fine. Good evening, Mickey.
Tip top. Just two quick things for the pair of you.
Okay.
I'd like to grab the Minister Without Portfolio, if there's any chance.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. You got it, brother. You got it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And one other thing.
Yes?
You know your next rabbit hole thingy, Bob?
On Sunday?
Yeah, I did try to run it by you last night. I think consideration should be given to the classic Rita Sue and Bob 2.
We're having a gangbang?
Now, I'll explain briefly.
Hang on a minute. Do you mean the movie night that we're doing?
Yeah.
That's not Sunday.
Okay.
Sorry, I do get
you'd be
confused.
Perfect for the government. That's in January. Okay, so so at the moment we're hopefully showing Weird Science, but you're saying Rita, Sue and Bob 2, a film I've not seen for over 30 years. I don't...
I remember finding it very creepy when I watched it.
It's meant to be creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now here's my point, guys.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In the 80s, when it came out, you know what I mean? It was a laugh-a-minute British comedy, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Bought the DVD.
Oh.
I revisited it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say the N-word,
well,
but
God's sake,
Bobby's a bit of a... Bobby's a bit of a nonce.
Oh, he's a nonce.
If you know what
I mean. How old are the girls in it?
They're schoolgirls, Ian.
Okay. That's nonce, is it?
Yeah, when you revisit it, you do it... You know, I mean, the penny finally drops. Oh, no wonder it's never shown on bloody TV anymore.
Hang on, though. This is still slightly relevant. He's like, what, in his 30s?
Oh, Bob?
Yes.
Yay.
And Rita and Sue, how old are they? Because when you say schoolgirls, they're like sixth form on this. They're like 17 or 18. Still not saying it's right. They're not 15. They're grown women.
No.
Oh, I can see your computer. You Google everything. You don't enjoy the thrill of the chase.
I haven't enjoyed this show for quite a long time.
For goodness sakes. We can get an hour out of how old are Rita and Sue. We can get an hour out of it, and you're Googling it.
Ian, I have to deal in fact.
Ian, I think the line in the sand should be if they're in a school uniform. Because they're in school uniforms throughout the film.
Yeah, but some men pay top dollar to have intercourse with older women in school uniforms. I'm not making light of nonsense. I want to talk about R. Kelly later on in terms of sexual crimes.
It's a shame because it's a great movie.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We're having a gangbang classic.
Yeah, they're supposed to be 16.
They're supposed to be 16, Mickey, so that's legal.
Oh, I'm still not a happy bunny.
Here's the thing. Can you name one British comedy that's actually funny?
The new Bromley Boys movie, outstanding.
The what?
The new British movie, fantastic movie called The Bromley Boys.
Oh, I've not heard of that.
Outstanding movie.
What's that about? Some boys in Bromley?
It's set in the 60s when Bromley were a lower league team, and they were billed as the worst football team in the country.
Okay, yes.
And it's a young boy's adventure of falling in love with a rubbish football team. Mm. It's got a stellar cast. It really has. Martin McClutchin, the big fella.
Martin McClutchin? And you and McIntosh, who's a big fan, I'm a big fan of, and listens to this show a lot. And I've got a lot of time and respect for you, and he's great. Well, that sounds... that one slipped me by. When did that one come out?
Only about 5 months ago. And Freddie Foreman's son, you know, Brown Bread Fred, the South London gangster, his son's in it, and his son is a quality role in it. It's worth watching, Ian. It's a proper top-notch
movie. Ewan, if you're listening, Ewan, can you give us... What's it called? Made in Dagenham?
The Bromley Boys.
Ewan, give us a call. Let us know about the Bromley Boys, please. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. That one has slipped past me. If we can find a genuinely funny British comedy that I'm in. Mickey, thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. Having you sat next to me is really you're invading my space.
Do you know what? It's not a bowl of cherries for me either. Could you put your leg, like, again? Could you, let's... And do those up. Oh, my God.
This... Kath, I dropped my pen on the floor. Could you get it for me, please?
That's not a pen. You can pick it up yourself.
It's a ruler. Kneel down before the ruler. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
We could be dreaming and meeting each other in our dreams.
On Talk Radio.
Some song, huh? Oh, where did we go? It went. That's some song, huh? Some song, man. That's the Staves. They're going to be your new favourite band. I heard them on Six Music the other day and bought the album. Man, it's good. They've done a Christmas song that just came out today. We'll have that after midnight show. I've not heard it.
Three sisters.
Yeah.
From, I want to say Watford.
We'll say it.
Watford.
There we go.
It might not be right, but I'm saying Watford.
They sound like, they're kind of like folky, but poppy. They sound a bit like the British Dixie Chicks. There, I said it. I put them in a little box. That whole album, listen to it on the way in. It is a masterpiece. The album I got, if I was, a masterpiece of harmonies, lush melodies, and thrilling, soaring bits and pieces. I think we got Katie back. Katie?
Hello.
Hello, Katie.
Hey
Katie. Hi. We got, thank you for your card.
We only just found it.
We only found it a couple of days ago because we don't go to the pigeon boxes anymore.
We thought that they'd all been cleared out and abandoned.
Like it?
Yeah. I've got it in my bag.
Very, very sweet of you. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
And you're a lovely human being. How's everything going?
It's going all right, yeah. Just wanting to call up to contend with your bad day.
Here we go. All right. Are we having a little bad day, top trumps?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Well, let's just a reminder. Well. Just a reminder, I dropped my phone in my own feces. That phone is now broken.
He put it in Uncle Ben's and it was the wet kind.
Please be quiet. Mm. That's disrespectful. it was broken. I've had to buy a new phone and my food was not delivered this evening. And Catherine has got a real cob on.
I've got a cob on.
Yes, yeah. And that laugh just proves it. So thank you. That's the evidence that I will use in court against you.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Exactly, and there it is again. That's the second. That's Exhibit B, Your Honour. Katie, beat that, but you can't.
I can beat all that. Oh. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to phrase this though, because I don't want to swear on the radio.
Yeah.
So me and my sister and my mum went to Asda, and we came back, and my mum was getting the baby out of the car. And me and my sister walked into the living room and found my dad doing...
No.
Yes.
No!
No, what?
Yes! It was horrible.
Whoa!
In the living room where we sit and eat tea. I don't live with them, but where I come round and eat tea.
Your dad... I've got to just get this straight, okay?
I've got a way to phrase it.
Go on.
So you walked in on your dad shaking hands with the unemployed.
Yes.
Flip it.
Does that mean masturbating?
It does, yeah.
It means okay, right, so we're on the side.
Yeah.
Flipping it. Was he watching a video? Did he have a movie on?
He was he's like a really tame guy. He doesn't even swear or anything, I think.
Well, he knocks one out.
From what I see, it was a saucy bit in a film that he was replaying.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't even like on a proper site.
So he was just watching a normal Hollywood movie where there's a little bit of boob, and he thought, "Oh, I remember them."
I think so. Yeah.
Do you remember them? Do you remember them, fella?
He was having a random romantic moment.
Wowzers. Yeah. Okay. And so, what was said? What was the conversation when you walked in on your dad shivering a beauty?
Oh my god.
That's disgusting.
It is, isn't it?
Well,
it's not my family problem.
Thank God it wasn't out. It was like an under the pan kind of thing.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right.
And we both kind of screamed, me and my sister, and like ran out the door.
Do the scream for me that you did.
Oh, I can't even. I can't. I've got neighbours, but it was really bad. it was like that.
Wowzers.
I bet there was a freeze frame of about a minute in your mind before you reacted, but it was probably a second.
And
it was, was like about a second of where my dad kind of went, oh, and we went, oh, and then we both all kind of collectively, like,
Shame on you, Katie. It's not the house you live in, is it?
No.
Well, then shame on you. Shame on you. You shouldn't be just traipsing around your parents' house.
Sneaking up on him.
How dare you? That man has worked his entire life to buy a little bit of privacy, so that if he's watching a movie in the afternoon and he wants to knock one out, then that's exactly what he can do. He has earned that right. He has earned that right to have a fiddle any time he wants to have a fiddle.
Not in the living room, where
yes,
that's why they call it.
I mean, that's disgusting.
That's why they call it the living room.
Yes. Here's the thing. I've got a house now, Katie, and I'm going to be honest. I have pleasured myself in every single room in that house.
Oh my god, that's an image I proper don't need in my
every
head.
Single room, and also in the loft space as well.
Have you?
Yeah, in the little bit where you open the door and you go in, and it's like all
that's
that.
That's like
asbestos
not even a
stuff.
Proper room. That's just a cupboard.
It's my house. I do what I want.
Oh my god.
I've worked long and hard for that house.
Say long and hard.
I spent 3 weeks with a bunch of a-holes in the jungle so I could afford that house. All right, I worked long and hard for that house. I will
not. Stop saying long and hard.
I want to come and meet your dad. I want to shake his hand, and I want to.
Don't shake his hand.
I want to play Sticky Biscuit with your dad in every room of that house.
It's so disgusting.
What?
It's so minging.
You've had a baby. You've done worse.
That's natural. At least,
You know what I mean? Natural. Like, he didn't do it in front of everyone.
Right, well, he did, right, okay.
I don't think he was waiting for you to come in, was he?
What was... Did you tell your mum?
I don't think so.
Did you tell your mum?
My mum was come in the second after.
So she saw. And then she shut the door and kept you two out while they...
Stop it.
...entertained each other. She went, that's mine, I'm hungry.
No, it didn't go down like that at all.
How did she go down then?
It was more like my dad stood up and was like, oh, my God, it was more...
And then his trousers and pants fell down.
Me and my sister were screaming.
Grow up.
The baby was just like, what's going on? My mum.
Oh, the baby was there. That's something taking a very, very dark twist. I didn't know there was a baby actually present. So what did you say? What was the next conversation with your dad after that when you went back in the room?
I kind of tried to reassure him because he seemed a bit upset.
Well, I bet he did.
And I was like, and my sister was like, she's only 14. She was like roasting him. Like, she was saying all these, like, taking the mick out of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's only natural, you know, everyone does it, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I don't think he made eye contact with anyone for the rest of the night.
Wow.
But yeah, so who's had the worst day?
Your dad.
No. Yeah, your dad. Your dad is definitely, Katie. Shame on you. You. I expect you to be more open-minded. Thank you for your call.
Yes.
Bye.
I wonder what the film was.
499-1000. Probably like Love Story or...
Thornbirds.
What's the one with Omar Sharif, where they're on a boat? Dr. Zhivago.
Don't remember them being any particularly sexy bits in that.
Well, the boats are horny. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio. There's your video. Put that up. Let's
destroy. Oh, no, we can't.
Yes, of course we can.
Oh, no.
Yes, we can. Put that video up.
Man has suffered enough.
Don't know his name. It's probably Steve, guessing. Put that video up. That is great. That is the one that's going to go viral. Dad gets caught knocking one. By the way, if you've ever been caught, 03444991000. I told you my mum caught me once.
Go on.
Well, she got, you know, this was like when I was about 15. And when you're 15, any 15-year-old boy will tell you, you are just horny all the time. I've never known anything like it since. Just there's like 2 years, it was like, oh, a chair.
Got the legs on that.
Yeah, that door handle. Just constantly, right? And I was watching telly with the family, and then there was something that was a bit racy came on. I thought, so I thought, I'm going to go upstairs.
At least you went upstairs.
Of course I did. I'm decent. I'm not like a dirty dad. I went upstairs, and I watched it on my TV. I'm on the bed. I've got my trousers around my ankles.
Wow, so you'd really gone to town. You're taking your trousers around your ankles.
Yeah. I'm a gentleman. And... then suddenly there's a knock at the door.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I'll be in a second. But then the door opened, and this is all in slow motion. The door opens, I'm on the bed. Yeah. No time to pull the trousers up.
No.
So I jump off, and I have to hop to the door to push the door shut. She'd seen it. My mum had seen it.
And worse still, it was hopping towards
her. Yeah. I'm down in a minute. Wait, I'll be down in a minute! Do you want to see a teaser? I'll be down in a minute! Here's the thing. And then you've got to walk downstairs knowing that your mum has seen you shivering and beautiful.
Stop saying that.
I finished.
Oh, my God.
Well, I had to. I might as well get something out of it. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.